We ended yesterday.
昨天我们结束的时候,
somewhere in the middle of chapter 6.
我们昨天在第六章的中间的时候就, 停下来了。
The title of chapter 6
第六章的标题是,
was Guru Avagya.
Guru Avagya.
Now I heard some of you have a problem with Sanskrit words.
现在我发现有人,
you know what guru means? So what does avagya mean? Avagya means neglecting. When you receive some instruction and you just don't do it.
那就是当你得到某个训示的时候，但是却不执行。
Neglecting the instructions of the spiritual master.
那么呢，这就是忽视灵性导师的训示。
And we heard that there's some consciousness behind that neglect of instruction.
我们也谈到了，在这种忽视的背后有一种知觉状态。
Does anybody remember?
大家还记得吗?
啊。
To with a material idea to seek Guru.
Exactly, just like saying having a material idea of the holy name.
哎，就是对圣名怀着一种物质的想法，跟这个类似。
Actually, if you analyze each one of the 10 offenses, it's seeing with material vision, seeing with material vision, seeing with material vision, and seeing with material vision.
实际上，如果我们分析每一条冒犯的话，都会得出这样的一个结论来：是用物质的眼光看待这个，物质的眼光看待这个，物质的眼光看待那个，等等。
Just like seeing that the name and the object named are different, that's material.
那么呢，看到这个名字。 和那个名字所指的物体是不同的，这是物质的眼光。
Just like here's a chair.
就像是这里有这个椅子。
That's the object.
这是这个物体。
And then there's the word.
然后还有椅子这个词。
You can't sit on the word, you can sit on the chair.
你是没法坐在这个词上了，你只能坐在这个物体椅子上。
The name and the object named are different.
所以呢，在这个物质世界里，名词和这个名词所指的对象是有分别的。
That's something material.
这就是物质的东西。
But Krishna's name isn't material.
但是呢， Krishna的圣名不是物质的。
His, as Krishna is absolute, his name is none different than him.
同样的，就像是 Krishna是至尊绝对的， 那么 Krishna的圣名也是如此， 跟 Krishna本人毫无分别。
But that's part of the second offense, is seeing the name of Krishna and Krishna as different.
那么第二个冒犯就是看到 Krishna 和 Krishna的圣名是不同的， 这是一种冒犯。
Or seeing that the demigods, Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, are separate from and even competitors to Krishna.
那么呢，把主Shiva, 主Brahma 这样的半神人等同于 Krishna， 或者是认为他们是 独立于 Krishna， 这也是一种冒犯。
That's a material conception.
这是一种物质的概念。
So we have to put in place spiritual conceptions of these objects or these things, these persons in relation to Krishna.
所以呢，我们应该怀着一种灵性的概念去看到这个人和 Krishna 之间的关系，或者是这个物体和 Krishna 之间的关系。
And one of those very important persons in relation to Krishna is this function of spiritual master.
那么呢，其中最为重要的一个人物和 Krishna 相关的一个人物，并且 他的这种职能和功能是非常重要的，那就是灵性导师。
Something material, you can take it or leave it.
那么呢？
Accept it or not accept it.
那么呢，在这个对于物质的东西，你可以接受或者是不用接受，是拒绝它。
The Vedic wisdom teaches the spiritual master should be seen in an absolute manner, that is, as the direct manifestation of Krishna.
那么呢，在韦达经里面给出的教导是，我们应该是灵性导师，是完全灵性绝对的这种层面上。
I'll tell you a little Prabhupada story.
告诉大家关于释迦牟尼的一个故事。
When in doubt, tell a Prabhupada story. It's always nice to hear Prabhupada story.
当然就是总是讲释迦牟尼的这个故事，大家都是喜欢听的。
I became a devotee living in the Hare Krishna temple in the summer of 1970.
我是在1970年夏季的时候加入到 Krishna 直觉当中。
That's a long time ago.
这是在很久以前，很长一段时间以前的事儿了。
45 years ago.
在45年以前。
Some of you aren't 45 years old yet.
那大家有在座的，可能45年以前还没存在的吧。
Some of you are older than me too.
啊，有的人比我年龄大。
We were accustomed to hearing Srila Prabhupada say,
我们经常听到 Srila Prabhupada 这样说的
A jiva, a living entity,
a jiva, 个体生物体
should never say that he is God, Vishnu.
永远不应该说他是神 Vishnu.
One who says he is God, he is dog.
当他一说自己是神的时候他实际上就是狗
Because the letters in English, you go, D,O-G, just turn them around and it's...
因为在英语当中狗这个词 D-O-G 倒过头来就是反过来是 G-O-D 神这个词反过来倒过来
G-O-D D-O-G
然后这个神这个词 G-O-D 反过来就是 dog 就是狗这个词 D-O-G
That's pretty heavy
所以，你啪啪说的这个话是分量很重的。
But Prabhupada wanted to protect us from Mayavadi cheaters.
但实际上，其实啪啪通过这样的言辞呢，保护我们免于 Mayavadi 骗子的这种上当受骗。
Just like a mother bird spreading her wings and the little baby bird she's protecting.
那么就像是这个妈妈用她的这个翅膀保护这个小宝宝把它放在自己的这个翅膀下保护起来
So he said that very strongly many times
所以呢施特帕帕德以非常这种非常强而有力的话语说出这样的话语很有分量的话语
You know that Janmashtami comes in the summer, right?
大家都知道 Janmashtami 一般都是在夏天的时候过
Generally it's in August
通常情况下是在八月份。
So when I was a new devotee, just in living in a temple for about two months.
那么呢，当我还是一个新加入的奉献者的时候，我在庙里面那会儿待了两个月。
Many devotees had gone to the farm community in West Virginia called New Vrindavan.
那么那个时候呢，有很多人就去到了西弗吉尼亚的这个新文达文农场这个地方。
And they had a big Janmashtami celebration, just like you might do, you know, some persons come from faraway places and have big Janmashtami celebration.
那么那个时候呢，有很多人都聚集在那里，甚至有的人是远道而去，就聚集在那里举行了一场盛大的 Janmashtami, Krishna 的显现日的庆典。
Maybe 2 months before that Janmashtami, something like that, Srila Prabhupada gave sannyas to 4 men.
那么呢，就在那一次Janmashtami的两个月之前，是帕帕德给这个 Sanyasi 启迪，四个人。
Very prominent devotees.
那么呢，这四个奉献者呢是非常重要的，当时非常重要的奉献者。
And they came to this Janmashtami celebration.
然后这四位奉献者全都去到了参加了 Janmashtami 的庆典。
So because they were coming, many more devotees came.
因为这四位非常重要的奉献者的参与，所以呢，其他的奉献者就是听到这个消息以后，就纷纷来到了这里。
And Srila Prabhupada had just finished writing and printing the first edition of Nectar Devotion.
那个时候呢，Srila Prabhupada刚刚印刷出奉爱的甘露的第一次印刷品。
So these four sannyasis, they had copies and they had read the book.
所以呢，这四位 sannyasi 呢，他们就得到了这样的书籍。
And nobody else attending the festival had read the book.
那么呢，就是其他参加 Jamastami 的节日，参加这个仪式的其他的人呢，都没有这本书。
Based upon their reading of what was in the book,
基于他们当时阅读到这本书籍的内容的基础上。
They sent a shock through the whole Hare Krishna movement.
那么呢，他们的话一说出来，就让这个参与到 Hare Krishna 这边运动当中的人感到震惊。
They were teaching that Prabhupada was God.
他这个 sannyasi 他说 ，Prabhupada 是神。
You know that section in Nectar Devotion that says how one should regard the spiritual master.
那么呢，实际上我们在放的甘露里面也看到了，写到了一个人应该如何去看待灵性导师。
And these are all big devotees saying Prabhupada is God.
而这个当时所谓的大奉献者，竟然说帕帕是神。
I was thousands of miles away, and it's like a bomb hit.
那么那个时候呢，我正在千里之外的一个地方，我听到了这个消息之后，就像是五雷轰顶一样，炸弹爆炸。
There weren't cell phones and send text messages and none of that.
那么呢，那个时候呢，还没有这个手机发信息。
Email didn't exist.
那个时候也没有 email.
Just none of that.
那个时候还没有这些现代的这种通讯设施。
But it was like a bomb exploded.
但是呢，就像是炸弹大爆炸一样。
These four men, the Prabhupada just gave sannyas to, saying Prabhupada is God.
那么这四个人刚刚接受Śrīla Prabhupāda的sannyas启迪，然后呢，竟然在这里说Prabhupada是神。
Our world turned upside down.
又感觉到整个世界都颠倒过来了。
Within a number of hours, this message came from Śrīla Prabhupāda.
那么呢，就在几个小时之内呢，Śrīla Prabhupāda给出了这样的讯息。
These four men, I'm kicking them out of the Hare Krishna movement. They're not to step foot inside any one of our temples.
那么呢，Śrīla Prabhupāda就给出了这样的讯息。从此以后，这四个 sannyasi 就被我踢出了Hare Krishna 的运动之外。以后不让这四个人踏入 ISKCON 的庙宇一步。
This is Mayavad philosophy.
他们讲的是 Mayavadi 哲学。
And then there was another explosion.
那么呢，接下来有另一个大爆炸。
These are very respected devotees.
因为这四个人是受人尊重的奉献者。
Prabhupada just kicked them out of the Hare Krishna movement.
他把他们踢出了 Hare Krishna 哲学运动。
And then 24 hours passed.
然后呢，过24小时过去了。
And then Prabhupada sent another message.
Śrīla Prabhupāda又给了另一条消息。
These four must rectify themselves.
那么呢，这四个人必须要认识到自己的状态和地位。
They may not speak at any Hare Krishna temple.
他们呢可能不会就他们呢可能不会在任何的 Hare Krishna 庙宇里面允许他们讲话。
They must go to some place where there isn't any Hare Krishna temple and start a Hare Krishna temple.
然后呢，但是他们可能会去别的地方去传播这样的信息，然后建立 Hare Krishna 的庙宇。
They should purify themselves in this way, and in 1 year's time, I may consider allowing them again to become my disciple.
然后呢，他们必须要去净化自己，认识到自己的错。如果他们悔过自新的话，可能在一年将来，我会再一次的，就是承认他们，允许他们再一次做我的门徒。
Now those statements in Nectar Devotion say that the spiritual master is to be regarded as good as God. Because the representative of God is to be regarded as you regard God.
因为奉爱的甘露里面是这样说到的，我们对待灵性导师的态度应该像尊敬至尊人格守神一样的去尊敬灵性导师，因为灵性导师是至尊人格守神的代表。
Many times Prabhupada explained,
很多次是的，帕帕德这样解释的。
Some nation may have an ambassador.
那么呢，有一些国家他们有他们的大使馆。
The ambassador represents the country.
那么大使馆就代表着那个国家。
And the ambassador goes to another country.
当这个大使去到另外一个国家的时候。
And when the ambassador is representing the country, he is to be received as if the country came to visit.
那么呢，当这个大使去到别的国家去拜访的时候，那其他国家的要人就应该像对待这个国家一样的去尊敬这位大使。
And that way the spiritual master is to be respected.
所以呢，这就是灵性导师的他所代表的身份。
Not that he is God.
他并不是说灵性导师就是神。
That's offensive.
认为灵性导师是神，这是一种冒犯。
As the representative of God,
做灵性导师作为神的代表
he used to be regarded in that way, in this absolute way.
他们呢就应该就是视他是在处在一个绝对的层面上。
Then he taught something else that's very nice.
然后他又说了别的非常的精彩的一段话。
Supposing some gift is given to the ambassador as he's visiting this other country.
例如假如一名大使他去拜访去走访其他的一个访问其他一个国家然后他被赠予了礼物。
The gift does not belong to the ambassador.
但实际上这个礼物是不属于这位大使的。
If he puts the gift in his pocket, he's under arrest.
那么如果这位大使把这个礼物据为己有放在自己的口袋里那么他就会被逮捕。
The gift belongs to the country.
因为这个礼物是属于他所代表的国家。
It can go into the treasury of the country, but not into the bank account of the ambassador.
那么呢这个礼物呢应该是被装进国家的国库而不是他占为己有装进自己的口袋。
Now something, just allow me to drift a little bit, I'll come back to this topic.
那么呢我现在再深入讲一点然后我再回到我们的这个主题上。
Yesterday, I mentioned about Varnashram.
昨天我提到了 Varnashram 制度。
And the wish that Srila Prabhupada expressed that we help to establish Varnashram to help people in general become devotees of Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada 也表达了他的这种愿望希望奉献者能够重建 Varnashram 制度帮助其他的人逐步的有机会去从事奉爱服务。
Some people hold that the economy of Varnashram is agrarian economy.
Economy,
money, finance, economy. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Is bartering or exchange. I'm a carpenter. I'll come fix your door,
那么呢有的人就是因为他们的这个就是这个所处的这个阶层是可以从这个阶层进入到另一个
物物交换
啊，谷物交换
物物
啊，谷物交换就是像这个那个例如一个鞋匠
卡宾卡
哎呀例如一个鞋匠他就是可以进行这种互相的
木匠
啊木 carpenter 是木匠啊他做这个活然后得到一些五谷就是这样做这样的一些互换的交易。
There's another group of people that consider the economy of Varnashram is offering gifts because of loving exchange.
那么呢、哦、还有另一群人就是头一群人就认为这个 Varnashram 制度的这个经济发展的方式就是物物交换。那么另一群人呢他们就认为这个 Varnashram 他们所运行的这种经济方式呢是进行布施而得来的。
So something that I've appreciated about the culture in China.
那么我现在呢对中国文化的一种欣赏。
It seems to me that the culture of giving is part of Chinese culture.
那么好像看上去中国文化当中孕育的一种这种互相布施的给予的这样的一种文化。
Just on this topic of guru, regularly people come and offer something, whether it's an apple or it's some RMB or it's, you know, something, you know, a pair of socks or, it's just part of the culture.
那么呢，就是从他们对待灵性导师的态度上和行为上就可以看出来。例如灵性导师来了，然后这里的奉献者们给灵性导师布施钱、布施水果、苹果、布施袜子什么等等之类，就能够看得出来中国文化当中传承的一种给予的精神。
Now why should one give something to guru?
为什么要给灵性导师赠送礼物呢？
Whether it's paying obeisances or giving some gift or whatever it is.
那无论是给灵性导师赠送礼物，还是给灵性导师顶拜等等，为什么这么做呢？
The position of being representative of Krishna.
因为灵性导师他所代表的地位是他代表的至尊的一个守神 Krishna.
And if such a person thinks, oh, this respect is for me.
那么呢，如果一个人他认为，哦，这是对我的尊敬的话，
That's disqualification.
那么呢，这个人就没有这个作为灵性导师的资格了，他丧失了这种资格。
That will cause one to fall down.
那么如果他这么想的话，就会招致自己堕落。
Or I've received something, now it's mine.
那么呢，或者是当我一收到礼物，我就脸上挂着笑容。
One will fall down.
那如果他是这样去想的话，他就会堕落。
The responsibility of such services.To represent Krishna, it belongs to Krishna.
那么他去接受这样的服务的职责，他所要担负起的责任是，这个人们所供奉给他的是供奉给，通过他供奉给 Krishna。
So when one receives something,
所以呢，当灵性导师得到这样的礼物的时候
，It may be some service, it may be some an apple, it may be you know.Whatever it is, you receive something that's meant for Krishna.
那么呢，当灵性导师他就是当别人服务灵性导师，或者是给一个苹果给灵性导师，供奉给灵性导师，实际上灵性导师是代表了 Krishna 去接受这些服务，这些服务通过灵性导师传递给 Krishna.
I could speak about this some more. It's a nice topic.
这是一个非常精彩的话题，我可以更加详细的、进一步的说下去。
So, but it's already 11:30.
但是现在已经11:30了。
I haven't even started the chapter yet.
我现在甚至还没有开始讲这一章。
It's a nice subject.
啊，这是一个非常精彩的主题。
Humility requires.Not just thinking low about yourself. It means understanding in relation to Krishna, we're very tiny, we're meant to be his servant. That's humility.
那么谦卑就意味着，不是说是把自己压得低低的，把自己低下头这样子，而是认识到了自己和 Krishna 之间的关系。我是 Krishna 的渺小的仆人，认识到自己非常渺小，认识到自己是 Krishna 的仆人这样的地位。
I'll speak something because it's so relevant to this subject.
那么我现在再讲一点，因为这一点吧，跟我们的这个主题息息相关。
For a good number of years, when I lived in the Hare Krishna temple, I was a brahmachari.
那么在许多年以前，那个时候呢，我住在 Hare Krishna 的庙宇里面，那个时候我还是一位 brahmachari 真守身。
I had no idea what the system was for becoming sannyas. And I was very happy just being a brahmachari. I had lots of service and I loved being brahmachari.
那个时候我就是特别喜欢做一个 brahmachari, 真守身。那个时候快快乐乐的就是那种单身汉的生活 ,brahmachari 的生活。被那个做 sannyas 也没有任何的概念。就觉得做当一个 brahmachari 有很多服务可以去做。所以呢挺高兴的，每天都挺开心的。
Then one year, my GBC representative came back from the GBC meeting and said, "Guess what? You've been approved to take sannyas."
然后呢，我的当地的那个有一位 GBC， 他开完 GBC 会议之后，来到我待的那个那所庙宇里，就告诉我说，你想不想成为 sannyas 呀？
And I said.I don't need to take sannyas. I'm happy being brahmachari.
然后我就告诉他，我并没有想着要去做 sannyasi. 我觉得做一个 brahmachari 已经很开心的事了。
And he said, "No, but when you take sannyas, you can expand your preaching service." I said, "I already have more preaching service than I can handle." I need to expand my preaching service. Thank you. No, thank you.
后来我就对那位 GPC 成员就领导人就说了，那位 GPC 领导人就跟我说，如果你成为一个 Sanyasi 的话，那么你就可以更加拓展你的这个传教的活动了。后来我就对他说，我现在已经有很多传教的机会可以去做了，所以呢，我没有必要去当一位 Sanyasi 来拓展我的传教的这些机会。然后我说谢谢你，他说啊，不用谢。
Part of my reluctance was I had seen a number of position hungry, ambitious young men trying to become Sanyas, and they became Sanyas, and they became proud, and then they disappeared.
因为为什么那个时候？
Like it.
Yeah.
因为那个时候为什么我有点犹豫不决呢？就是不情愿去做一个Sanyasi呢？因为我看到我身边有些年轻的、非常有雄心壮志的这样的一些奉献者们，他们努力的想要去做一位Sanyasi，但是当他们一旦做了Sanyasi之后，他们内心就开始骄傲了，然后呢？然后这个人就消失了，不知道踪影了。
So a whole year passed, and I just went on doing my service as a brahmachari.
所以呢，所以很多年过去了，我一直都是在做 brahmachari， 很开心的做着这些服务。
And then my GBC came back and said, "Well, have you changed your mind?"
然后后来我的当地的那个 GBC 领导又来问我说，你改变主意了吗？
No, I'm happy.
然后我告诉他说，我没有，我还想做 brahmachari， 我挺开心的，挺高兴的。
And then many people, many of friends were saying, "No, you should take sannyas because."
然后呢，很多我身边的很多朋友就劝我说，你应该做 sannyas， 因为一大串原因。
So I two months later said, "Okay, I'll take."
后来呢，在两个月之后，我就。
Two months later.
啊，两个月之后，我就后来自那以后两个月之后，我就做了神压水，接受了神压
水。Then this amazing thing happened.
后来呢，就有令人非常惊讶的事情还发生了。
The sannyas initiation took place.
就是在神压水启迪仪式上发生的。
And walking around with my sannyas danda.
那个时候呢，我正在拿着我的这个神压水气绝棍走的。
And everyone's paying obeisances.
我一拿了这个Sanyasi棍，做了Sanyasi之后，每个人都向我顶拜。
So my training was you pay obeisances.
那么呢，我受到的训练是顶拜，顶拜别人。
So then he would say, "No, no, you're not supposed to pay obeisances."
后来他们就告诉我说，就是你不应该顶拜别人。
I said, "Yes, yes, I am supposed to pay obeisances."
但是我说，我应该去顶拜别人的。
You're a Vaishnava, and I should pay obeisances.
你们全都是 Vaishnava, 我应该顶拜 Vaishnava.
He said, "No, no, but you just accept obeisances. It's good for the people who offer their obeisances."
然后他们就告诉我说，你就接受他们的顶拜就行了。你只要接受他们的顶拜，你这种接受对这个顶拜你的人是有好处的。
My mind was really troubled.
那个时候我脑袋里真的是，好，就是陷入了这种困境当中。
Kept paying obeisances.
然后我就继续的去顶拜别人。
Then a little light went on.
后来呢，接下来我的内心就得到了一种启示。
The obeisances aren't for me.
啊，
别人顶拜他不
是
为他顶拜。
啊，那么后来我就得到了这样的一个启示：别人顶拜我不是顶，别人向我顶拜，实际上不是顶拜我。
It's meant for one who's in the sannyas ashram.One offers respect to one who's in the sannyas ashram. The same reason the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas.
那么呢，实际上是他顶拜的是这个 sannyas ashram， 就是这位 sannyas 所处在的 sannyas ashram。同样的，当主持开的马哈帕布做 sannyas 的时候，他也是出于这个原因。
So that became it just was easy, just a service.
所以呢，那个时候我就觉得一切都变得简单起来了，这是我的服务。
It's a different service, but it's a service.
所以呢，虽然是不同的服务，但是它也是一种服务。
It's not for me.
它不，这些顶拜不是，不是给我的。
Society, the culture of offering respect to someone who is renounced. Okay.
那么呢，实际上是他这其他人顶拜的是献给这个气绝阶层，这个阶层的这个 ashram 的。
When you're in the mood of service, life is easy.
那么当我们处在服务的心态当中的时候，生活就变得简单多了。
And happy and know, transcendentally blissful.
而且呢，你也会生，你也会非常的开心，你也是得你会获得超然的喜乐。
But when one thinks of one's service as I'm going to do something and I'm going to receive something, that's material consciousness.
那么当如果一个人他是这样想的，我在做一种服务，然后别人我然后我去所得到一些什么东西，那么这种知觉状态是物质。
Now, how should one regard a person who is doing a service like that? This is what Haridas is teaching.
那么呢，关于这一点呢 ，Haridas Thakur 这样说的。
So, those of you that have taken the disciple course, you know about these two, Diksha Guru, Shiksha Guru.
那些参加过门徒课程的人都知道 Diksha Guru 和 Shiksha Guru 的含义。
And in one sense, we're giving instructions about the holy name to others, and that's it.Guru function, and so all of us assembled here are in some ways performing that function.
那么呢，我们那么灵性导师他的职责呢，就是他的职责和功能就是去给予他人训示。那么实际上我们在座的聚集在这里的每一个人，多多少少都在这么做。
Now we heard, yes, this was the last slide we saw yesterday.
这是我们昨天看到的那节课看到的最后一张幻灯片。
Haridas Thakur uses this word Adi Acharya, or the original Acharya.
Haridas Thakur 在这里用了这个词 Adi Acharya, 或者是原始的 Acharya.
Our disciplic line is the Brahma Sampradaya.
我们的使徒传系称为 Brahma Sampradaya.
So he's the Adi Acharya.
所以呢 ，Brahma 是 Adi Acharya 第一位灵性导师，原始的灵性导师。
There he is, Lord Brahma.
这是 Brahma 在那个图的上面。
And then Madhvacharya gathered the teachings together of Lord Brahma and presented them in a comprehensive manner.
那么 Madhvacharya 他收集了 Brahma 的所有的这些教导成册。派发给他人。
So then our line became Brahma Madhva Sampradaya.
所以我们的使徒传系，接下来就全名就是 Brahma Madhva Sampradaya.
And then Lord Chaitanya came and taught love of God and the mood of the residents of Vrindavan.
接着主切坦尼亚显现于世，他教授的给众人的是以文达文居民的心态去服务至尊主的心，这种心态。
So then our sampradaya became Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya.
所以呢，我们的这个使徒传系的名字又扩充为 Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya。
And that means anybody else in this line from them must properly place themselves in harmony or in resonance with the teachings of our Sampradaya.
所以呢，那么接下来后面的后来的灵性导师们，他们都应该是按照先前的灵性导师的教导去活动。
That's the qualification of the spiritual master.
这就是灵性导师的资格。
And then the qualification of the disciple, having taken shelter.
而且这也是一位门徒应该具有的资格，是脱避，完全脱避于灵性导师。
The disciple doesn't go to hear teachings from outside of the Sampradaya.
那么呢，这个门徒呢，不应该听取使徒传系以外的教导。
This is spiritual etiquette.
这是我们的这种灵性的礼仪，规范礼仪。
Even you may come to know of somebody that's excellent speaker and very learned, but we don't go and hear from them.
即便你在使徒传系以外，即便你认识到了使徒传系一个以外的一个非常能言善语，或者是满腹经纶的这样的一位学者。
It's something like a woman that's married.
就像是一位女子结婚嫁人。
She's faithful to her husband.
她应该忠诚于自己的丈夫。
There may be so many other nice husbands out there in the world somewhere.
那么可能在世界上其他的地方还有很多其他还有很多就是说那些人的丈夫他们也很好。
But the faithful wife doesn't go checking out other men that might be a, you know, maybe would be a better husband than the husband I have.
但是呢，一个忠诚于她丈夫的这样的一位妻子，她不会去在外面去找另外的别的丈夫，认为别的丈夫比自己的丈夫更好。
In Vedic culture, such a woman is unchaste.
那么如果一个女子是这样子的话，那么在韦达文化当中，这样的女子认为是不贞洁的。
And so, similarly, once having taken shelter.
所以呢，同样的，一个人应该去脱避。
There's no power. Maybe you have to hit the reset button. There's no power.
Now it is.
Not yet. Not yet. Yeah. Yeah. 这个没了，不会烧坏了。
Maybe a blue thing. No power?
Janaka.
Come take a look, Janaka.
哎，好了。
OK，good。
终于发出信号了。
OK，so what was I saying before that little explosion?
The unchaste woman.
Yeah. So like a chaste woman doesn't look for another man besides her husband.
那么呢，就像一位贞洁的女子，她只是忠诚于自己的丈夫，而不会是三心二意去找另外一位丈夫。
Similarly, the disciple having once taken shelter stays there.
那么同样的，一旦门徒他脱避了一位灵性导师，他就应该去忠诚于一直忠诚于这位灵性导师。
Then it'sDescribing the qualification of a spiritual master if one is considering who might be qualified.
那么呢，这里面也讲到了灵性导师应该具有的资格，描述了谁具有这样的资格成为一个灵性导师。
The one qualification is.
那么其中的一个资格应该是。
One must be very conversant in the Adi Acharya's teachings.
那么这样的一位灵性导师应该是精通阿底阿查亚第一位灵性导师的教导。
And one should be of ideal conduct and character.
而且这样位灵性导师他应该有完美的行为举止和品质。
These are the words of Haridas Thakur.
这是 Haridas Thakur 所说。
That personshould be conversant in the process to reach pure devotional service.
而且这样的主的这样的一位纯粹奉献者应该谙熟 Sudha Bhakti, 也就是到达纯粹奉爱服务的方法。
And they are strict followers of that process.
而且呢他严格的遵循这一方法。
That is the suitable criterion for evaluating.
所以呢那么这就是评估的标准。
Haridas said, beware of a teacher whose teachings are Mayavad in nature.
那么呢 Haridas 在这里说到了一定要警觉你以防自己听到 Mayavadi 的哲学。
Such a person has not attained the goal of life and cannot give it to others.
如果一个人他从 Mayavadi 那里接受 Krishna 的 mantra, 那么这样的人他永远不会接不会得到最珍贵的宝物，那就是对纯粹圣名。
That mistaken person will go to hell, and one who follows him will also.
那么那个犯错的人，这么去做的人和去聆听这样的一个错误的教导的人，双双都会去到地狱。
Strong language.
这个话语很重。
And then a little bit of guru.Tattva.
这里讲到了一点 Guru Tattva 关于 Guru 的真理。
You know the meaning of Tattva?
大家都知道 Tattva 这个词的意思。
It means truths about something.
Tatva 的意思是关于什么什么的真实或真理。
Here's a few.
这里罗列了几点。
Both the Diksha Guru and the Shiksha Guru are servants of Krishna.
Diksha Guru 和 Shiksha Guru, 虚实灵性导师和启迪灵性导师都是主 Krishna 的仆人。
Haridas says they both reside in Vrindavan.
Haridas Thakur 在这里说到，无论是虚实灵性导师还是启迪灵性导师都居住在，都是 Vrindavan 的居民。
That means that's where their consciousness is.
那这指的是虚实灵性导师和启迪灵性导师他们的知觉状态。
Their feet may be some other place.
那么也许他们的身体在其他的地方。
But their heart is in Vrindavan.
但是他们的心处在 Vrindavan.
Both are manifestation of Krishna's potency.
他们两者都是主 Krishna 的能量的展示。
That means this Guru Tattva is a potency of Krishna.
那这意味着 Guru Tattva 是 Krishna 的能量。
And one who is authorized by their spiritual master to perform that service carries that potency from their spiritual master.
那就意味着当一个人被他的灵性导师授权去从事作为灵性导师的这个服务的话，那么他就从他的灵性导师那里获得了这种作为灵性导师从事服务的能量。
Like the example of the ambassador.
就像是这个投资者。
When he's authorized to represent the country.
就像是大使，当他被授权代表某个国家的时候，
He's not the country, but he's empowered by the country to represent the country.
他本人不是那个国家，但是他被这个国家授权代表这个国家。
Both are empowered by Krishna, we mentioned.
所以灵性导，启迪灵性导师和虚实灵性导师都被 Krishna 赋予力量授权。
And they must know Krishna Tattva.
而且他们二者必须了解 Krishna Tattva.
This is a statement in Chaitanya Charitamrita, by the way.
顺便说一下，这几点是摘自主且参的 Charitamrita。
Yea, Krishna Tattva Veta Se Guru Hoy. The person who knows Krishna Tattva, that person is a qualified spiritual master.
因为一个了解 Krishna Tattva 的人，他才是一位，他才具有作为一个灵性导师应该具备的资格。
The drawing here is, by the way, someone who's fallen down.
那么在这里画的一个图片呢，是摔倒或者是堕落的，这样表示堕落的这样的一个图片。
So, if this is a footnote by Bhaktivinoda Thakur,
这是 Bhaktivinoda Thakur 写的一个注脚注释。
Proper regard for the spiritual master should be there.
我们应该有正确的了解灵性导师的地位的这种认识。
In Bhaktivinoda Thakur's words.He is empowered by Krishna, or he is a personal associate of Lord Krishna.
在这里面说到了，灵性导师要被视为是被主且对主 Krishna 赋予力量的，或者灵性导师是主 Krishna 的一位亲身同游。
Thinking in a material way causes the offense, which causes the fallback.
那么如果以物质的想法去看待灵性导师，这种想法就会使人堕落。
These are Sanskrit terms again. Some of you don't like Sanskrit terms.
那么这里又出现了梵文词，也许有的人不太喜欢念梵文词的人，这里又遇到了一个梵文词。
Krishna Shakti, you know, is the potency of Krishna.
大家都知道 Krishna Shakti 的意思是 Krishna 的能量。
Krishna Prishta,means that they're very dear to Krishna.
Krishna Prishta 的意思是 Krishna 最钟爱的。
And the spiritual master is to be seen as one's eternal master or Nitya Prabhu.
那么呢，灵性导师应该把自己的灵性导师视为永恒的灵性导师 Nitya Prabhu.
Then one will be protected.
这样一个人就会受到保护。
And by the power of one's devotion to his spiritual master,
通过一个人对灵性导师的奉爱的力量，
one crosses over the ocean of birth and death.
一个人就能跨越生死之洋。
I'll just share this with you.
我现在给大家分享一下。
During my japa this morning,
今天早上在我念诵的时候
I was for half of my 16 rounds, I was meditating on that phrase, Guru Bhakti Bhava.
那么就在我念16圈念到一半的时候我在这中间呢我就开始冥想 Guru Bhakti Bhava 这句话。
We heard that in order to chant without offense,
我们都说了我们应该毫无冒犯的念诵。
Haridas Thakur taught, we need strength from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
那么 Haridas Thakur 说为了能够毫无冒犯的念诵圣名的话一个人应该从主Chaitanya那里获得力量。
I'll say in a different way.
我以另一种方式来表达一下。
We will not get to offenseless chanting just by our own effort.
我们要是仅凭自己的力量是无法做到毫无冒犯的唱诵圣名。
We must make effort, but it's not our effort alone that can get us to offenseless chanting.
我们应该做出自己的努力但是单凭自己所做出的努力无法做到这一点。
We require Bala, we require spiritual strength.
我们需要灵性的力量 Bala.
We require spiritual strength to do devotional service.
我们需要有灵性的力量帮助我们去从事奉爱服务。
But what's the basis of our devotional service?
但是我们的奉爱服务的基础是什么呢
Mahamantra.
那就是 Mahamantra.
We require Bala, spiritual strength, in order to chant without offense.
我们需要有灵性的力量才能够做到毫无冒犯的唱诵圣名。
I'll tell you that those 8 rounds this morning were especially ecstatic.
那么呢我可以告诉大家今天 后来的那八圈呢真的是一种狂喜的体验。
I'm just calling out for that spiritual strength coming from Balaram and the representative of Balaram, the spiritual master, is the representative of Balaram.
我在念接下来的八圈的时候，就是在呼喊着，向 Balaram 呼喊着，从我的灵性导师那里获得这种灵性的力量，去念诵这个圣名。
That's what Chaitanya Charitamrita says.
这是 Chaitanya Charitamrita 里面说到的。
Who's the original spiritual master?
谁是原始的灵性导师呢？
Balaram.
Balaram.
And anyone who is representing, takes the position of spiritual master, must receive strength from Balaram.
那么呢，无论是谁，他在身兼着灵性导师的这种职责的这种地位上的人，他肯定是从 Balaram 那里获得了灵性的力量。
And we receive the holy name from our spiritual master or masters.
我们从我们的灵性导师那里或者是从我们的其他的那些主人那里获得 Hare Krishna Mahamantra
So following Haridas Thakur we pray for that strength
所以呢我们按照 Haridas Thakur 的教导去去获得这种灵性的力量
We can't do it on our own
我们单凭自己的力量做不到
Who wants to do it on their own anyway? I mean who in their right mind wants to be aloneWhat intelligent person wants to be alone?
那么呢，就是一个想独立自主、一个人待着的人，这人真的是个聪明人吗
？Rebellious people, those kind of people like to be alone.
那么呢，那些背叛、那些背叛、离经背叛的人，才喜欢一个人待着。
It's that rebellion that brought us to the material world to begin with.
因为我们背叛了至尊主，所以呢，就掉到了这个物质世界里。
So take that false sense of independence and find a big river and throw it in the river.
所以呢，那么如果我们要去找到一条大河，把这种单凭自己努力就能够达成一件事情的这种想法扔到这条大河里。
Don't leave anything in your pockets. Get rid of the whole thing.
不要在就是把什么东西留在你自己的口袋里，把这个口袋全都翻出来倒出来。
And you can't go back and get it anymore because you threw it in the river.
那么因为你把这个东西扔到河里去了，那么那就意味着你再也找不着它了，捞不着它了。
Now what are you going to do?
那现在该怎么办呢
？No false independence.
那么呢，就是没有假自我了，也没有这种独立自主的想法。
So now you're dependent.
那么现在是变得依靠了。
You're calling for strength from Balaram and the representatives of him, the spiritual masters.
那么现在因为你变得依靠了，所以你向主切坦，向 Balaram 呼喊，向代表 Balaram 的灵性导师去呼唤。
To come to the stage of offenseless chanting.
这样就能够到达毫无冒犯的唱诵圣名的阶段。
Leave behind this weak, namabas chanting and go to offenseless chanting.
所以呢，把这个 namabas 脆弱的 namabas 念诵的阶段扔到一边，跨越它，到达 sudha nama 纯粹唱诵圣名，毫无冒犯唱诵圣名的阶段。
哎呦！
哎呦！
And we're not alone.
我们不是独自一人，不是一个人孤零零的。
We have most merciful of persons as our closest friends and associates.
我们有最仁慈的人一直待在我们身边，作为我们的伙伴，陪着我们。
I'm going to read it again, to just translate this last part. Thinking in this way,
如果这样想，一个人应该这样想，总是奉献于自己的灵性导师，通过自己对灵性导师的奉爱的力量 Guru Bhakti Bala, 一个人就能够跨越生死之痒。
Then Haridas Thakur describes how one should honor the spiritual master in practical ways.
接下来 Haridas Thakur 就说到了一个人应该如何实际的以实际的行动去尊敬荣耀自己的灵性导师
Just like in deity worship
就像是崇拜神像一样
Those of you that may have been trained in formal standards of deity worship
可能大家都受过训练如何以正式的非常正式的方法标准的方法去崇拜神像
Before you approach the deity
在去接近神像之前
There is mantras and procedures that you approach the spiritual master first.
那么呢，有一个程序。首先，我们要去接近我们的灵性导师。
On behalf of the spiritual master and with the permission of the spiritual master.
那么在请求灵性导师的允许，去代表灵性导师。
Then you worship the deity.
然后再去崇拜神像。
You're doing the service on his behalf.
我们是代表着灵性导师去崇拜神像。
And without his empowerment, you can't approach the deity properly.
如果没有灵性导师的授权赋予力量的话，我们是无法去崇拜神像。
Anyway, there's this long description of different procedures for worship of the spiritual master.
那么呢，在崇拜灵性导师这一点上，有列举了长长的一串如何去崇拜灵性导师的这个程序。
Then he asks this question, what kind of faith should one have in his spiritual master?
接着就问了这样一个问题，我们对灵性导师应该有着怎样的哪一种信心呢？
He uses this phrase here, achala shraddha.
在这里运用了这样的梵文词 achala shraddha.
So the mind is said to be flickering, chala.
那么心意呢被形容为是 chala, 是 chala, 是这个不稳不定的。
Just like a flame in the wind.
就像是风中摇摆的蜡烛一样。
Flame in the wind goes like this.
那么呢就像是在风中摇摆的火焰总是摇摆不定。
Mind is compared to a flame in the wind. It's moving, flickering.
心意呢也被比作为风中的火苗，摇摆不定。
Chanchala himana Krishna, in Krishna's words. Mind is flickering.
Chanchala himana.
Chanchala himana Krishna.
Chanchala himana Krishna.
So, the faith should be achala, should be non-flickering or unflinching faith.
那么呢，我们的信心，一个人的信心应该是 achana, 应该是不可动摇的。
And when that condition exists, then the spiritual master can give you what he wants to give you, which is the strength to get on the other side of the ocean of birth and death.
那么呢，当一个人有了这种信心的时候，灵性导师他才会给予你所想要的。 然后这如此他你才能够跨越生死之洋到达彼岸。
Then there was this discussion that Radhacharan wanted to bring up yesterday.
那么这一段呢就是讲到了昨天Radhacharan朋友提出来的一个问题。
This is the section that describes the disciple examining the spiritual master, and similarly, the spiritual master, before accepting the disciple, should examine the disciple.
这一点讲到的是，作为门徒应该去考察你所托庇的那位灵性导师，而灵性导师呢，在接受这位门徒之前，也应该去考察这位未来的门徒。
Once accepting the spiritual master is an offense to disobey.
那么呢，在灵性
Once accepting the spiritual master.
啊，在一个人接受
disobey.
啊，一个人去接受灵性导师的过程当中，如果他违背灵性导师的训示，这是一种冒犯。
Therefore, someone who is a prospective disciple doesn't want to suffer later on.
就是为了避免未来的门徒遭受这样的痛苦。
So that prospective disciple should carefully see the qualification of the spiritual master.
所以呢，未来的这样未来的门徒呢，应该去了解一位灵性导师应该具备什么样的资格。
And that's what this whole chapter is: disobeying or neglecting.The orders of the spiritual master. It's an offense to the holy name.
那么呢，这就是这也是这一章所讲到的内容。忽视灵性导师的训示，或者是违背灵性导师的训示，这是一种冒犯。
Those of you that have read Nectar of Instruction.
大家阅读，如果大家阅读了教诲的甘露
，will remember that it says that the spiritual master should examine the disciple before giving initiation.
那么就会读到其中的这样的一段。灵性导师在接受一个门徒给他启迪之前，他应该去考察这位门徒。
And part of that examining is, this is a person, if given instruction, will follow the instruction.
那么呢，考证的过程当中有这样的一部分，就是去看未来的这个门徒是不是能够执行他所从灵性导师那里得到的训示。
Because once a disciple then given an instruction, if they don't follow, they'll have a problem.
因为如果给了一个门徒训示，但是他没有去执行的话，那么这位门徒就会遭遇麻烦。
So here's a verse from spoken by Haridas Thakur.
这个诗节是 Haridas Thakur 说的。
And it says both sides, the spiritual master accepts an unqualified disciple is eventually punished.
这里面说到了一位接受没有资格的门徒的灵性导师最终会受到惩罚。
The other side, the disciple who worships a person not qualified to be a spiritual master becomes lost.
那么另一方面又说到了一个接受没有资格成为灵性导师的这样的一个人他最后他终将迷失自己。
This is an important lesson.
所以呢，这是一个非常非常重要的一课，非常重要的一个教训。
It's one of the lessons taught in the disciple course.
那么呢，这也是在门徒课程当中里面讲到的一课。
Which it's the responsibility of the disciple to know what they're doing before they say, "Oh, I want to become a disciple."
那么呢，一个门徒呢？在成为门徒之前，他应该了解到自己应该做什么。
So there's training and education, so one can understand what the meaning is and what the standards are.
所以呢，这就是为什么需要训练和培训教育，这样呢，我们就能够了解资格应该具备的资格和标准。
There's this very famous example within our specific succession.
这是在我们的使徒传系当中非常著名的一个例子。
Before Gorky Shardas Babaji Maharaj accepted his only disciple, Bhaktisiddhanta.
在 Gorky Shardas Babaji 接受他唯一的一个门徒 Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati 之前
he examined his determination.
Gorky Shardas Babaji 考察了他的决心。
Three times Bhaktisiddhanta went to Gorkhishore asking for initiation.
Bhaktisiddhanta 曾经三次去到 Gorkhishore Das Babaji 那里请求得到他的启迪。
Gaur Kishore had no interest to have disciples.
Gaur Kishore das Babaji 对启迪门徒一点都不感兴趣。
So the first time Bhaktisiddhanta approached,
所以当 Bhaktisiddhanta 第一次去到 Gaur Kishore das Babaji 面前的时候，
his reply was, I must ask Mahaprabhu.
Gaur Kishore das Babaji 回答是，我首先要去问问我的 Mahaprabhu。
He didn't say no, but he didn't say yes.
他既没有说不，也没有说是，他既没有拒绝，也没有接受。
So the next time Gaur Kishore was approached.
所以当下一次，第二次 ，Bhaktisiddhanta 去到 Gaur Kishore Das Babaji 面前的时候
，His reply was Mahaprabhu has not given his answer yet.
啊 ，Gaur Kishore Das Babaji 的回答是 ，Mahaprabhu 还没给我一个明确的答复呢。
And the third time Bhaktisiddhanta was ready to take his life if there was no possibility of having a qualified spiritual master. Don't sit right in the middle, please. Don't sit in the middle because people need to get through just like you. You can go over where there's no people.
那么当 Bhaktisiddhanta 第三次去找 Gaur Kishore Das Babaji 的时候，他看到几乎没有可能了去成为他的门徒，他那个时候要放弃自己的生命。
It's just a nice example.
当然这是一个很好的例子。
Even amongst our great acharyas, this example is not to be found.
那么即便是在先前的灵性导师 acharya 中间也看到了这样的一个典范。
Even one may be very careful, then there is the possibility of falling down.
即便一个人他非常的优秀，但是也有可能有时候他会堕落。
I'll tell another Prabhupada story.
我告诉大家是帕帕的另一个故事。
In Prabhupada's schedule after lunch,
那么帕帕的日程安排通常是这样子，在吃完中饭之后，
he took a short nap.
他会小睡一会儿。
And then he would receive guests if there were guests.
如果有客人来访的话，他就会去见客人。
And if there were no guests, then he would invite devotees to come to his quarters and there would be an informal discussion.
那么如果没有客人来访的话，他就会叫奉献者去到他的房间进行讨论。
Commonly it's called a room conversation where they translate these.
那么呢，通常情况下把这种情形的对话称为室内对话。
So Prabhupada was seated in his room.
所以那个时候是帕帕德坐在房间里。
And he was having fun.
然后他呢，
He's having an joyful discussion.
然后呢，他们之间呢就非常的愉快的、很幽默的这样的对话。
Prabhupada asked the devotees in the room.
那帕帕呢就问坐在屋子里的奉献者们。
What is the difference between you and me?
你和我之间有什么分别？有什么不一样？
The devotees were saying, Prabhupada, you're this, and Prabhupada, you're that.
然后奉献者说，帕帕您是这样子的，帕帕您是那样子的。
So it was a very joyful exchange.
那么呢，这是一个非常轻松愉快的对话。
Then it was time to go for darshan and in the temple for the evening class.
那么呢，那个时候呢，去觐见神像的时间已经到了，还有晚课的时间也到了。
So the devotees were in a happy, jolly, laughing.
然后奉献者呢，就是欢声笑语的这样边谈边笑的这样的心境当中。
So Prabhupada, the final word Prabhupada said was, the difference between you and me is you can fall down and I cannot.
那后来是帕帕德结束的时候说了这么一句话，说你我之间的不同之处在于，你会堕落，而我不会堕落。
And then everyone went, Jai Prabhupada.
然后每个人 Jai Prabhupada.
And they went to the temple room.
然后他们都纷纷去到了庙宇。
So when coming before the deities in the temple room,
后来当他们去到神庙庙宇里去觐见神像的时候，
like this, Prabhupada was standing with his hands folded in front.
那个时候是他帕帕德双手合十的站在那里。
And he was reciting some prayers very softly.
他口里非常轻声的在祈祷着。
And the servant right next to him noticed that he was saying some prayers.
啊，他待在他旁边的他的亲生的仆人就听到了是的帕帕德的祈祷。
And then he paid the presentations, went to the Vyasa-san, gave the evening class, went back to his quarters.
Srila Prabhupada 在神仙面前这样轻声祈祷之后，顶拜，然后就去到了他的 Vyasasana 座上，讲完课之后，他又回到了自己的房间。
So then Prabhupada's servant said, Prabhupada, it looked like you were offering some prayers to the deities when you greeted the deities. Could I ask what those prayers were?
后来 Prabhupada 的身边的这个仆人就问 Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, 当你觐见神像的时候，你看上去在给神像祈祷，我能够知道你祈祷的是什么吗？
Prabhupada replied, I was praying to the deities to please protect me from falling down.
他回答说，我在向神像祈祷，保护我不要堕落。
Then the servant said, but Prabhupada, you told us just before class that the difference between yourself and us is that you'll never fall down.
那么这个仆人又问到说，是Prabhupada的那会儿当你去神庙之前你还说到了你我之间的不同之处在于你们会堕落而我绝不会堕落这样的话现在你为什么这么说呢
And Prabhupada's reply was I am always praying like this and now you know why I will never fall down
后来是啪啪的说我一直都在这样祈祷现在你知道我为什么从不堕落的原因了
He always instructing.
总是这样去。
Prabhupada was always instructing his disciples.
是的 ，Prabhupada 总是在教导他的门徒。
And this is one of the ways.
那么这也是是的 ，Prabhupada 教导他门徒的一个方法。
Please protect me from Maya.
请帮助，请保护我免于 Maya 的诱惑。
The opposite is one becomes proud. Oh, I'm a great personality. Nothing can touch me.
那么呢，就是还有另一个一种，就是导致堕落的一种心情，就心态是，我现一个了不起的人，我没有人能够让我堕落。
Now here comes a delicate subject matter.
这是一个。
This is, we're going to enter into a delicate subject matter.
微妙的啊，我们现在。我们现在来进入到一个比较微妙的一个主题。
The circumstances when one should reject his spiritual master.
那么呢，其实一个人是不应该去拒绝灵性导师的。就是在什么情况下一个人啊，在什么情况下一个人应该放弃自己的灵性导师
？If the spiritual master takes on asat sangha or Bad association.
如果一位灵性导师他去做了 asat sangha， 去获得不良的联谊
，and falls from his spiritual position，
而且呢，从他作为灵性导师的这个地位上堕落下来。
If the guru offends the holy name，
如果灵性导师他冒犯了圣名
，if he becomes an enemy of the Vaishnavas，
如果一位灵性导师他成为万世那瓦的敌人
，if he becomes slave of money and women.
如果他从那个妇女那里，
他成为财色奴隶，
他成为这个金钱和女色的奴隶的话。
So now, what's a disciple to do if they think, well, are one of these things the categories of what's going on with my spiritual master?
那么，如果作为一个门徒，当遇到了这样的一位灵性导师，处在这样的处境之下的话，应该怎么办呢
？So. What are you to do if you find yourself in that circumstance?
但是如果发现自己处在这种情况下，应该怎么办呢？
There are standards indicated by scripture.
那么在经典里面给出了一个标准。
There are procedures described in Vaishnava literature how to approach the spiritual master in a humble mood and submit your question.
那么在经典里面给出了这样的一个接近灵性导师的方法就是要谦卑的去接近一位灵性导师向他寻以宜兰
Our spiritual master's peers or his god brothers can be consulted
那么呢我们可以去寻找我们的这个灵性导师的兄弟
神
兄弟去向他请教
Then Bhaktivinoda Thakur presents the following footnote
Bhaktivinoda Thakur 又写下了这样的注释
The spiritual master disciple relationship is eternal.
灵性导师和门徒之间的关系是永恒的。
So it cannot be broken.
所以呢，不可能中断。
Having said that, sometimes it needs to be broken.
那么呢，有的时候呢，但是在这种紧急情况下，有的时候不得不中断这种关系。
If the spiritual master or the disciple become wicked,
那么呢，如果一位灵性导师他变得邪恶。
Then that relationship may be broken.
那么呢，这种灵性导师和门徒的关系就会中断。
Otherwise, neither can break that relationship.
那么要不然的话，就不应该中断这样的关系。
Now comes some Vaishnav etiquette or Guru etiquette, what to do, what not to do.
那么呢，现在就是应该做的和不应该做的，门徒、灵性导师应该遵守的这种礼仪。
Pretty interesting.Don't sleep on the spiritual master's bed. Sit on his seat. Wear his shoes, or step on his shadow.
但是门徒应该遵守的对灵性导师的规范礼仪。一个人不应该睡在灵性导师的床上，也不应该坐在他的座位上，也不应该穿灵性导师的鞋子，也不应该用过灵性导师用过的这个 脚踏，或者是踏过，也不应该踏过灵性导师的影子。
Don't step on his shadow. Isn't that interesting?
啊，不要踏过灵性导师的影子。难道不是很有意思吗？这一点很有趣。
不要踩他的影。
不要踩灵性导师的影子。
It's not one that you commonly hear about.
哦，那么实际上这一点大家不是经常听到这一点。
Before the spiritual master, others should not be worshipped.
那么呢，在崇拜灵性导师之前，不应该崇拜其他人。
Having accepted initiation, one should offer obeisances.
那么在接受洗礼的时候，应该向灵性导师顶拜。
Whenever coming before the spiritual master or leaving the presence of the spiritual master, one should pay obeisances. Prabhupada taught us this very strictly.
那么师父帕帕的对这一点是非常要求很严格的，在看到灵性导师的时候应该顶拜，在灵性导师离去的时候也应该顶拜。
There's a reason for that.
那么之所以非常应该做到这一点，这个原因是这样子的。
A practical reason.
是一个实际的原因。
It prevents familiarity.
那么呢，实际上这就是为了防止一个人熟悉产生轻慢的这种态度。
You get too close to somebody, and it's easy to get familiar with that somebody.And then become contemptuous of that person.
那么呢，通常情况下，如果你跟一个人非常熟了，然后呢，接下来你可能会慢待他。
We want to have a close relationship with our spiritual master.
那么呢，我们都希望和灵性导师有这种非常亲密的关系。
In that closeness, never lose the position of respect.
但是呢，在这种非常亲密的关系当中，永远不应该忽视对灵性导师的尊敬。
It'll destroy everything.
那要不然的话，就会把一切全都给毁了。
There's another little Prabhupada story.
在此给大家分享另外一段关于帕帕的一段小故事。
Very qualified devotees became Prabhupada's servant, and they didn't last long. They fell down.
那么呢，有一个非常曾经很有资格的一个门徒，他成为了释帕帕的身边的这个仆人，但是呢，没待多长时间他就离开了。
It happened many times over and over again.
那么像这样的事情发生了一次又一次。
These were good devotees.
而这些奉献者都是很好的奉献者。
But they didn't properly regard this principle.
但是因为他们没有很好的去遵守这一条。
They allowed familiarity to enter into that relationship.
那么呢，他们就是跟帕帕跟他们的灵性导师的这种关系越来越亲密。
And then they began to.Treat or regard Srila Prabhupada as an ordinary person.
接下来呢，他们就认为是帕帕的是一个普通人。
And they fell down.
所以呢，导致他们后来堕落。
So I had this discussion with one devotee who was being asked to be would he like to be Prabhupada's servant?
那么呢，后来我和一个就是曾经是Srila Prabhupada的仆人的这样的一个奉献者，跟他进行了讨论。
This was a god brother.
这是我的一个神兄弟。
Very powerful, very qualified person.
他是一个非常有力量、非常有资格的这样的一个奉献者。
And he was shaking his head like this. No way am I going to be Prabhupada's personal servant.
No way.
No way. I won't take that service.
啊，他说 他在那一直这样摇着头，我才不想成为西德帕帕德的亲生的仆人呢。
He was adamant about it, very strong.
他说到这一点的时候，非常的口气非常的强烈。
Then he explained, it's so easy to fall down with that intimate association because it's easy to be familiar.
那么呢，后来他就解释了，因为过于亲近了，所以呢，会导致呢一个人过于亲近而产生轻慢的态度，导致堕落。
And he didn't accept the service, and he's still doing devotional service.
那么呢，他没有接受这个成为他的灵性导师身边的仆人这个服务，但是他仍然在从事关爱服务。
Very nice and very qualified devotee.
他是一个非常优秀的、非常有资格的一位奉行者。
One should speak the spiritual master's name.
一个人不应该直呼灵性导师的名字。
One should honor the remnants of food and other things left by the spiritual master.
一个人应该荣耀灵性导师的寄语，或者是灵性导师留下的其他的东西。
Never speak harsh words to his spiritual master.
永远不要向灵性导师说粗鲁的话语。
One must humbly surrender to the spiritual master's feet.
一个人应该谦卑的臣服皈依灵性导师的足。
Act in such a way always that the spiritual master will be pleased.
那么呢，如果一个人总是以这种方式去行为的话，肯定会取悦他的灵性导师。
This is the last part of the chapter.
这是这个部分的最后一点。
Supposing somebody is inattentive and they make one of these mistakes.
那假如一个人他因为心不在焉、不专注，然后做出了这样的错误。
He offers them the concluding remedy.
那么呢，这里呢就有一个补救的措施。
Commonly that will happen through bad association.
那么呢，通常情况下是由于不洁的联谊。
Or reading other books that are contrary to the spiritual master's teachings.
那么呢，或者是读了一些与灵性导师相违背的一些教导的这样的书籍。
So he says two things, throw away those books, give up that association.
那么这里就提到了两点，应该把这些书籍扔掉，也应该放弃这样的不洁的联谊。
Go to the spiritual master, explain that the mistake has been made and beg forgiveness.
而且向谦卑的去到灵性导师面前，向他承认自己的错误。
Then naturally,
并且请求灵性导师的原谅。
Then naturally the spiritual master will give his mercy.
那么自然而然，灵性导师肯定会给予他的仁慈。
And with his mercy, the power, the strength to purify through the chanting of the holy name.
那么呢，藉着灵性导师的仁慈，一个人就能够获得唱诵圣名的力量。
Hare Krishna,
Hare
Krishna, Krishna Krishna,
Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
You have a question?
Yeah.
Okay.
你说这个违背灵性导师的训，这个灵性导师指的是启迪灵性导师呢，还是训示灵性导师？
You said to disobey the orders of the spiritual master. So this spiritual master refers to Diksha Guru or Shiksha Guru? 是指两者。
如果是两者。我的启迪领导是让我去南方找工作，我的训领导是让我到北方找工作。我肯定会执行一个领导事情，会违背另外一个领导的训。我应该怎么做呢
？So if both, if one spiritual master order me to find a job in the south of China, another spiritual master order me to find a job in the north of China, so undoubtedly I will.Carry one order of the two spiritual masters' orders. So,
what
to do?
There's a book written by Narahari Sarkar, a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya.
那么有一本书是朱启泰的马哈帕布的一位伟大奉献者，那拉
Narahari.
Narahari Sarkar. 他写了一本书。
And in that book, it describes etiquette in relation to guru.
那么呢，在这个里面就写到了一个人和灵性导师所之间，就是对待灵性导师的要遵守的礼仪。就是巴鲁斯瓦米把这本书翻译成了翻译过来了。这本书是一本小书。
Krishna Bhajanamrita is it? I can say
那个名字叫 Krishna Bhajanamrita.
So one of the things it says there.
那么其中提到的一点
is it is the duty of Shiksha Guru to give Shiksha or instructions that are in conformity.With the Diksha Guru.
那么这里面说到了 Shiksha Guru 是给出的训示应该和 Diksha Guru 给出的训示是一致
And if a disciple hears some teaching from his Shiksha Guru
那么有些门徒呢从 Shiksha Guru 那里获得这些训示
Then he should go and confirm that teaching or instruction with Diksha Guru.
然后呢，他应该去到他的 Diksha Guru 启迪灵性导师那里得以确证，他的训示灵性导师给出他的这个训示。
That's the etiquette for the disciple.
这是作为门徒应该遵守的礼仪礼规。
Now in your case, your Diksha Guru is Tamal Krishna Maharaj, right?
那么在你的这种情况下，你的 Diksha Guru 是 Tamal Krishna Maharaj.
First initiation.
那你第二次启迪呢是谁？
The other group.
The other group.
Another.
Okay. So something, there's probably somebody, it looks like Nrisimha Maharaj is that somebody in your life who is your principal shelter.
那么呢，例如像那辛哈斯拉米，例如他现在是你的主要的庇护所，是吧？
So that person who is your principal shelter is like, you know, the Supreme Court.You take these different instructions to that person who you feel is the principal shelter for you, and just you follow that.
那么呢，就是例如他现在是你的主要的庇护所，然后呢，你从这个主要的庇护所那里去得到了这种训示，你应该去执行这样的训示。
And you may want to consult with other Tamal Krishnamara's disciples. What would Gurudev Tamal Krishna Maharaj say about this or that.
那么呢，你可能会向 Tamal Krishna Goswami 的其他的门徒，你的神兄弟姐妹那里去请教他们，去了解一下 Tamal Krishna Goswami 会什么样的想法。
或者再有一个问题，就是刚刚您讲到的是门徒应该考察灵性导师，灵性导师呢也应该考察门徒，这样的一个就是被启迪的，假设他要选择这个孤乳，但是呢又没见面，完了有其他地区的这些新奉献者推荐这个新奉献者启迪。这样的话呢，这样的话就是说，他们说的有的你也见到，但是可以在网上也可以启迪。这样的一个情况下，在当时2004年以后呢，就出现一些网上启迪。我想问的问题就是，这样的行不行？
网上启迪，
网上启迪行不行？但没见过。
见过没有？没见过。
没见
过。
Maharaj, you mentioned that as a disciple should examine the spiritual master, and the spiritual master also should examine the prospective disciple.
Yeah.
So there is such a situation that sometimes the local leaders or the local senior devotees recommend in this way that.And sometimes the devotees who are going to be the disciple, but before he gets initiation, they do not they didn't meet their spiritual master, and the leaders recommended in this way that you can get initiation through the internet. And from the spiritual, through the internet get initiation from the spiritual master. So this is the proper way to get initiation. Even such a devotee did not meet their Diksha Guru before initiation.
Okay. It sounds like you're asking two questions in one question.
那么呢，你是问的是两个问题还是一个问题？
First, what did the major, there sounds like there's two, maybe there's only one. There's a one very wonderful devotee, a godbrother of mine named Kumarupa.
那么我有一个非常好的灵性兄弟，他叫 Kuma.
Kurma Rupa. We served together in New York.
那么呢，我们在纽约一起服务。
Then after some time, he went to Vrindavan and became a Gurukul teacher in Vrindavan.
啊，库尔曼·鲁帕帕布呢，后来呢，在一段时间之后，他就去到了 Vrindavan， 在那里的古鲁库拉临时学校做了老师。
So every time I went to Vrindavan, we would spend time together.
后呢
，very close relationship.
我们俩之间的关系非常的亲密无间。后来有的时候，我再去拜访 Vrindavan 的时候，我就会和他相见。然后
，Then after some time.He started taking care of cows, just stray cows that were wandering around the street. He started a goshala to mend them and care for them, and he just became a lover of cows.
但是后来呢，他没有当，他就终止了在那个乌库拉里的担任教师的职位。他就去养那些放牧那些乳牛。后来他就在这个 goshala 里面照顾这些。牛场照顾那些乳牛去放牛等等做这样的照看乳牛的服务
Point is very strong devotee exemplary in character loved by everybody very honest person filled with virtue
他是一个非常坚定不移的一位奉献者而且他有非常崇高的突出的品质每一个人都受到每一个人的爱戴
He was never in the physical presence of Prabhupada even once
那么呢，他也非常诚实，但是，Kumar Rupa Prabhu 他一辈子从来都没有见过他的灵性导师 Srila Prabhupada 的一次面
，not even once，
甚至一次都没见过。
He read his books，
他总是在阅读 Srila Prabhupada 的书籍。
He heard recordings of his classes，
他总是在聆听 Srila Prabhupada 的录音讲课。
He heard about Prabhupada's activities and things from those that had his association。
那么呢，他从他人那里聆听施特帕帕德的一些事迹活动。
So there's an example of one person who, without physical presence of Srila Prabhupada, fantastic devotee.
那么呢，这就是其中的这样一个例子。即便他这一辈子都没有遇到过他的、见过他的灵性导师，但是仍然他成为了一个非常令人佩服的、令人钦佩的这样的一位奉献者。
For him to continue as he did, obviously there was a relationship with Prabhupada.
那么呢，毫无疑问，从他的这种服务当中可以体现出他与他的灵性导师Srila Prabhupada之间的这种关系。
So, internet has its place.
那么当然了 ，internet 就是那个网上，就是。
But there must be a relationship.
那么这个因特网通过网上起义这是一种方式但是呢实际的关系必须要有这种实际的关系
so it's not just somebody's recommendation but it's a relationship where one can examine the spiritual master and the spiritual master can examine the disciple
那么呢当然了就是别人的推荐是一回事那么必须这个门徒未来的门徒和灵性导师之间灵性导师要对这个门徒有这种方式去考察他，那么这个门徒呢，也有方式能够去考察自己他的灵性导师。
Now, I don't know personally. I don't know if Prabhupada even knew my name, although he gave me my name.
那么呢，我现在就是个人来说，我现在都不知道是帕帕的是不是记得他给我的这个名字。
I have a face in the crowd.
但是呢，
A face in the crowd.
啊。但是我呢，对这个众人 有着这种信心。
But I heard his classes and I went on morning walks.
但是呢，我听了他的讲课，并且呢，我也听到他清晨散步的对话。
And I participated in room conversations.
而且呢，我也参加了这个室内的谈话。
Just hearing.
我只是聆听。
But there was never any direct dialogue like right now you and I are having.
但是呢，我和施特帕帕之间从来没有这种面对面的这样直接的交流过，对话过，就像你和我这样面对面的直接的交流。
But for sure there was a relationship.
但是的毫无疑问，我和他之间肯定有这种关系。
Otherwise, how is it possible?
要不然的话，怎么可能在后面的事情发生？
Let's see, 1973 plus 15 is 38 years.
38,
一共48年，一共48年。48年。一共48年。
How can I carry on for 38 years if there's no relationship?
那么就是你在这38年当中，如果没有这种真实的这种关系存在的话，这以后那后来的38年怎么可能发生呢？
With no personal association, there's a relationship.
肯定是，即便是没有这种亲身的联谊，那么至少这种关系是有存在的，是一种非常牢固的关系存在。所以呢，这种牢固的关系是非常重要的。
Big part of the relationship is submission by the disciple to the person.
那么呢，实际上这是对门徒他应该所肩负起的这种使命。
So like Kumarupa, he gave his life to Prabhupada's service, although there was no physical.association, but it was very clear the person to whom he was surrendering.
虽然 Kumar Rupa Prabhu 他一辈子没有亲自见过 Srila Prabhupada， 但是呢，他依然将自己的一生倾其一生奉献给了 Srila Prabhupada。他而且他非常清晰他所托庇的对象是谁。
Okay. Somehow establish such a relationship.
所以呢，要无论如何要建立起这样的关系。
To try to do that through the internet, you know, maybe somebody can do that. I mean, Sankirtan Dasadikari, excuse me, Sankirtan Dasadikari does internet outreach.
那么呢，就是 Sankirtan Das
Adikari，
他是通过这种网上授课来进行这样的传教。
But those who connect with him, they feel a connection with him.
那么呢，那些跟他建立起这种连接的关系的人，他们感觉到自己和他之间的连接。
He doesn't do anything else.
他不做别的。
And his wife is right by his side helping him.
而他的妻子就在旁边亲手协助他。
And a staff of people. And he has a staff of people.
他有一群人。
But I've had conversations with him about, you know, somebody from, you know, a remote place where there's no temple. He knows very much about that person.
而且我还从他那里了解到，就是他所连接的这个人有其中有的人在偏远的地方，但是他对这个人了解的一清二楚。
That's possible.
是有可能的。
But there must be a relationship.
但是呢，就是通过这种网络也是有可能的，但是必须有这种实际的关系存在。
And when there is opportunity, Prabhupada taught this.
啊，释迦牟尼佛这样说的。
When there is opportunity for vani or excuse me for bhavu for physical association, one should take that opportunity.
那么呢，释迦牟尼佛说到了，一旦有机会得到这种亲身的联谊，我们应该抓住这个难得的机会。
Like their devotees.That have come from faraway places to be in association with their spiritual masters.
那么呢，就像是在这里有很多奉献者都是远道而来，就是为了得到他们的灵性导师的亲身联谊。
There's expense involved and there's inconvenience involved, but take that association.
Expense 那么呢就是。
方便。
那当然就是有方关于这个花销啊，还有方便程度啊，他们都啊。他们都做到了这一切，就是为了来面见他们的灵性导师，这是很好的。
Yes，
那
我大点声说。我想问库鲁队，您在给门徒起灵性名字的时候，有什么原则吗？
So， I would like to know that when you give your name to the disciple, did you follow some principles? In which way? What's the way you give? I'd like to know.
There's no fixed law. Something that Prabhupada often did.
那么呢，释迦牟尼佛经常是这样做的。
Based on the person's first name.
那么呢，他首先写下这个奉献者的姓。
The letter that's the beginning of their first name becomes the letter that begins their spiritual name.
那么呢，释迦牟尼佛的通常取这个奉献者的姓的第一个字母作为给他灵性名字的第一个字母。
It's not a rule.
这不是一个死规定。
This common.
这也是非常常用的一种方式。
And there's other things that you know somebody has a certain quality and a name that matches or resembles that quality.
那么呢，例如有的人他具有一个特别突出的一项品质，那么可能给他的这个灵性名字刚好跟他的这个特殊的品质对应上。
Or somebody has a particular liking for Vrindavan or for worship of Vrishringadev, and the spiritual master may know that's what's in their heart, so a name that supports that affection that they have.
那么呢，例如有的奉献者，他们对 Vrindavan 有着特殊的情感，或者是对于心化神像有着特殊的情感，那么灵性导师呢，就给他们一个跟这个相关的名字，为了就是增强他的这种灵性的知觉。
I named a disciple Mahamantra Das in America.
我给了一个在美国的一个奉献者名字叫 Mahamantra Das.
His service, the service that he likes the most.
那么呢，他最喜欢的一项服务是。
He travels around to all the festivals that temples hold, where there's lots of people that come.
那么呢，他就是每次这个节日的时候去旅行，去到每个地方都有很多的奉献者蜂拥而至。
And he sets up a tent.
然后呢，他搭起帐篷。
And has some chairs.
然后放上椅子。
And Mahamantra and Japa beads.
然后呢，给他们发这个，还准备了japa beads，就是念珠。
And he gets people to come over and chant one round of japa.
然后呢，他把人们邀请来，拿着这些念珠唱一圈，念诵一圈。
And he's probably had, you know, I don't know, tens of thousands, 50, 60, 70,000 people chant japa.
那么他曾经让五六万、七万人。念诵 Hare Krishna Mahamantra.
He just loves the Mahamantra.
他就是非常喜爱 Hare Krishna Mahamantra.
He took me to a college program just shortly before coming to China.
那么就在我来中国之前不久，他把我带到了一所大学，参加了一所大学的这种活动。
And after the class and questions answers.
后来在这个课程结束的时候是问答。
One student came to speak with me about something personal in his life.
那有一个学生呢，就跟我谈了一谈关于他个人生活的一些情况。
So just having this one-to-one discussion with this nice student.
所以呢，我就和这个大学生呢之间就进行了这种非常美好的对话和交谈。
So behind, right by my back, he had 15 students, all with japa beads.Chanting the Mahamantra. He's just like, he loves the Mahamantra. He's Mahamantra Das.
那么就在我身后，他就领着十五个大学生，那每个大学生手里都拿着那个念珠，在那里非常的这种很有热情的唱诵的 Hare Krishna Mahamantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 这样唱的。所以呢，就可以表现出他非常的喜欢 Hare Krishna Mahamantra.
He can get all kinds of people to stop.
所以为什么就给他这个 Hare Krishna Mahamantra 这个Mahamantra 这个名字。
He just goes like this and they come sit down and they chant. It's like amazing.
所以他就是把那些人叫来，然后让他们坐下来，让他们唱诵 Hare Krishna, 就是这样，非常。
Like some people are really good at distributing books.
就像有些人他特别喜欢派书。
They're just empowered to distribute books. People just say yes.
那么呢，他就有这种力量。他所见的，每见到一个人，都向别人派书，一派就成功了，人家就要。
Anyway, somehow, someday is really that's the person.
有的人呢，可能 message.
They connect with the person. They are very appropriate for that person.
那么呢，就是他们要那么有些人呢，他们就是不恰当的方式。
I agree.
是这样。
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. Thank you for your wonderful lecture. My question is, do we need a Shiksha Guru before we take a Diksha initiation from aspiring master, Guru? 我的问题是在我们接受Diksha Guru的提议之前是否需要一个训示灵性导师？
Well, you know what, you've read Chaitanya Charitamrita, right?
你读过 Chaitanya Charitamrita 没有？
No.
I don't have time to read.
Okay. In Chaitanya Charitamrita,
在 Chaitanya Charitamrita,
it's stated that generally one who is one's Shiksha Guru becomes one's Diksha Guru.
那么呢，通常情况下，就是一位是这个门徒的曾经是这个门徒的训示灵性导师的人给出他训示的人通常情况下后来变成他的启迪灵性导师
And there's a little common sense to that.
而且呢这个是有他的这个常就是经常的
Before you take initiation you have to have a basic understanding of what's what.
那么呢通常情况下应该是这样子的在接受启迪之前首先应该了解对这个启迪等等这些事宜应该有所了解。
So, Srila Prabhupada is our, in ISKCON, Srila Prabhupada is our primary Shiksha Guru.
那么在应该了解到这一点在 ISKCON 当中 Srila Prabhupada 是所有人最重要的训示灵性导师。
From his teachings and his writings and his lectures, we can hear somebody again.
那么呢我们通过你通过释迦牟尼佛的著作他的这个讲课录音对话等等我们了解到 Sambandha Gyan 关于关系的知识
So for all of us that's the beginning of a Shiksha Guru relationship
那么实际上大家每一个人开始的时候都是和释迦牟尼佛建立起了这种他是我们的训示灵性导师的这种关系
And there may be others or there may not be others that areprimary persons from whom you hear. There may or may not be other primary persons.
那么呢也许你其他人或者是别人也许别的人对于他来说是非常重要。
Thank you.
Okay.
我问
你
一个问题。
Microphone? We have the microphone.
可以问。
And I think we'll just take one or two questions and then we'll go on to the next
chapter. 然后大家问一两个问题之后 Maharaj 他继续下面的讲课。
我想问一个问题就是一个灵性导师如果他向他的门徒承诺这一世我一定将你带回灵性世界那这个承诺是为了吗
算不算数是吧
是对的吗
我听说过
这个话是对对不对是吧
对
这个话对对
So if one spiritual master make a promise to his disciple that in this life I'm sure to bring you back to Godhead so to speak in such a way is correct is right or not
这
个取决于什么样的人呢？
取决于什么样
？It's not the guarantee is not that in this lifetime you, Prithivarjuna, will go back to Godhead.
那么呢，这个不是说是不应该是说是这样去保证，你 Prithivarjuna 这一辈子肯定回归求神。
But
if
pretty burden,
不一定是不一定的，
没保证，
没准保证说这辈子 pretty burden 你肯定会不会守神呢？没这么保证。
If you follow the instructions, then for sure you will.
但是如果你遵守灵性导师的训示的话，毫无疑问，你肯定回去这一辈子。
Pretty burden has free will.
Pretty burden 呢？你有你的自由意志。
And sometimes she says yes.
有的时候你说是。
Sometimes she says, "Let me think about it."
有的时候说让我好好想想。
Sometimes she says, "Maybe later."
有的时候说，也许过一阵子再说。
But if all those just become yes, then surely that's the path back to Godhead.
那么呢，如果最终都是是，那么毫无疑问，你如果真的去遵守了灵性导师的这种训示的话，你这辈子就可以回归神。
Now Srila Prabhupada gave another very important teaching.
那 Srila Prabhupada 又给了另外一段非常重要的教导。
Supposing Prithivardhana doesn't make all of those into yeses and has to take birth again.
那么假如 Prithivardhana 并不是总是说是的话，可能他还会经历下一辈子。
The spiritual master makes a commitment.
那么呢，灵性导师呢，做出这样的承诺。
That he will in if it takes another birth or a number of births to make sure that you make it back to Godhead.
那么呢，如果你经历了下一辈子，或者是经历了好几辈子，灵性导师也得下来去把你带回灵性世界。
Now Prabhupada explained.
哈哈，解释说。
That when the disciple hears that,
那么当门徒听到这样的话之后，
they should not think, oh, this is very good. I can take many lifetimes, and he'll come and get me.
那么呢，门徒不应该这样想，哦，太好了。那我今天是在这里经历生生世世，灵性导师还会来把我给提溜回去。
Rather, the disciple should think.
那么相反，门徒应该这样想。
I don't want to place my spiritual master in that difficulty.
我不应该把我的灵性导师置于这样的困境当中。
So I should perfect my life in this lifetime so he doesn't have to come back and rescue me.
我应该在这一辈子就完美了。这样呢，我的灵性导师不再来到这个世界上拯救我。
That's how a disciple should think.
这是门徒应该想的。
Okay.
Someone had a question over
there. Yeah,
yeah, here. And this one, yeah.
我们或
那还有。
This first, 这是刚才。
不，他这有个问题，他用完以后怎么来那个？
我们获得灵性力量主要是通过 Mahamantra。那Guru讲到的，我们需要灵性力量去。念诵，这怎么理解呢？ So he said that mainly, commonly through Hare Krishna Maha Mantra we get spiritual power or spiritual strength. But in your lecture you mentioned that in order to chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra we need spiritual power. So how do you understand this?
Yeah.
是的。
The heart has to be open to receive that power.
我们应该打开内心去接受这样的力量。
The holy name has that power.
圣名具有这样的力量。
But our heart may be closed.
但是我们的内心可能是关上的。
And then we don't receive that power.
所以呢，就接不到这样的力量。
So the spiritual master is very kind.
灵性导师是非常仁慈的。
He helps us to open our heart to the holy name.
他帮助我们打开我们的心扉去接受圣名。
He becomes the instrument or the representative of the holy name, representative of Krishna.
灵性导师他会成为圣名的工具，去代表圣名，去代表 Krishna， 帮助我们打开心扉。
And it is in that way that the spiritual master is to be seen. As good as Krishna.
所以呢，通过这样，灵性导师就是这样形式 才被认为是和 Krishna 我们应该对待灵性导师应该对待至尊主一样的去对待他。
Prabhupada says this is the mystery of disciplic succession.
是的，帕帕德说到了，这就是使徒传系的神秘力量所在。
Okay, one more question and then we'll move on.
我们再回答一个问题，我们再继续我们的讲课好吗？
啊，郭德贝，您好。您昨天讲的有一个，就是说冒犯了奉献者，可以就是去阎罗王那儿下地狱。在那个第二次忌会里头，阿迦米勒他那个在临终的时候，他喊到了他小儿子的名字，哪了央哪，为什么我就派四从来那个照顾他，他就给他那个什么了。后来那个阎罗王的那个四从完了就跟阎罗王说。阎罗王说：“你们可不能那个冒犯奉献者哈、啊。说要这样的话呢，昆纳的那个大头棒就会不饶我。那您一说冒犯了奉献者还得下地狱，那不是就阎罗王好像的意思就是不能管这个奉献者呢？
不管
你明白了吗？你明白了的那谁，
苏拉里，
就是等于奉献者就不属于阎罗王管辖之内了、
啊，
是不是这个意思？
啊、
嗯。
So.”In yesterday's lecture, he said that if someone offends the devotees of
Lord, 啊，你还没说完呢。
啊，你先翻译这个。
So he doesn't finish the verse. But the first part, he said that.
What I'm going to do, I'm not going to stretch this out. It's going to have to be. This is it.
就说
你把剩下的话说完。
剩下的话说完了再说了。
比方说，我跟奉献者说话的关系哈、啊，因为我跟这个人我特别了解他，我特别熟，而且我觉得这个人的那个昆染之觉也很高。我跟他说话呢，我就是很那个把我自己的心里话，我很直率的、真诚的去说啊，也可能在说的时候有点严厉，有点什么。嗯，如果这样的算冒犯他吗？
哦、这那你等于是两个
这两个问题、
哦、
对
It has two questions.
Let me have the microphone.
我现在把麦克风收回来了
收回麦克风
So two questions. Yesterday you mentioned that if one offends the devotee of the Lord then that person will go to the hell. So but Ajamil when at the end of his death he called out his son's name Narayana at that time and Vishnu Dutta came backappeared in front of him, yeah, and then Yamaduta went back to Yamaraj, and Yamaraj told Yamaduta said that, and you never touch the devotees, otherwise you will finish. So, my question is that, that means the devotee of the Lord are not in the jurisdiction of Yamaraj.
Right.
是的，那你那个奉献者不属于 Yamaraj。
Just yes.
是的，
是的，
是的，您说的是。So second question is that, because sometimes I have a very close relationship with some devotees. When we discuss some questions, I will directly, and even sometimes the voice is heavy or very strict.So if I speak with a devotee who has a very close relationship with me in such a way, it's a kind of offense on me.
Okay.
这不是一种冒犯。
Depends on the mood.
这是取决于您的心态，刚就是你跟他说话的心态。
好、oh, ，OK。
So be just, we've been here for 2 hours, so I'm going to have a little care time.
那么呢，我们现在。来一点小一小段贴谈。
And then we'll just cover part of chapter 7.
我们现在来看讲一讲第七章的其中的几个内容。
So this is offense number 4 out of 10.
那么呢，这是十个冒犯当中的第四个冒犯，讲的是。
And the offense is identified as Shruti Shastra.Ninda.
这个冒犯被称为 Shruti Shastra Ninda.
So, we've heard of this word ninda already. That's sadhu ninda.
We in this 之前听到了 sadhu ninda 对 Vaishnava 的冒犯，这里面也出现了 ninda 这个词， ninda 这个词。
And this is offending Shruti Shastra.
而这个呢，这个冒犯是对 Shastra 经典的冒犯。
And we're going to hear about both the Shrutis as well as the Smritis, those who the literatures in pursuance of the Vedic version.
那么呢，我们这里提到 Shruti 还是 Smriti 对 Shruti 的补充文献，这些经典都是属于韦达经、韦达文献。
On the first day, we had Darshi from Chaitanya Charitamrita, this Adideva chapter 8.
那么呢，我们在第一天的时候给大家发了一个资料，材料上面就是有一段话是 Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 第八章二十四十节。
And these ten offenses are quoted from Padma Purana.
而这十项冒犯呢，是摘自 Padma Purana 莲花往事书这本书。
So here's what Prabhupada writes there.
是的，帕帕德他是这样写到的。第四项冒犯是对韦达文献，例如四韦达经和普拉玛往事书的冒犯。
Then there's another quote later on in Chaitanya Charitamrita.
那么呢，在 Chaitanya Charitamrita 的中间的部分写到了
，Where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is instructing Sanatana Goswami.
在这段话里面，主 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 教导 Sanatana Goswami。
Very similar to what we were just discussing a while ago.
那么呢，这段话呢，跟我们现在将谈到的这个主题相类似。
On our own effort.
那么我们要去做自己的努力。
We can't make our way back to Godhead.
如果我们单凭自己的努力是无法回归求神的。
To awaken Krishna consciousness, we can't do it alone.
所以呢，要想唤醒 Krishna 知觉，我们不能够单凭自己的努力。
But Krishna is very kind.
Krishna 是十分仁慈的。
From his causeless mercy, he gives the Vedic literature.
那么 Krishna 出于他无缘的仁慈，他赐予了我们韦达文献。
To guide us and assist us in reviving our Krishna consciousness.
这样呢，能够帮助我们、指引我们、教导我们、恢复我们的 Krishna 知觉。
So we should not blaspheme such literature.
所以呢，我们不应该亵渎这样的文献、经典。
Then one more reference.
接下来又引述了更多的细节。
This is an initiation lecture given by Srila Prabhupada.
这是 Srila Prabhupada 在启迪仪式上给出了教导。
And he's outlining the ten offenses.
他概述了十项冒犯。
And when he gets to this one, offense number four.
当他说到第四项冒犯的时候，
he speaks very broadly and a very wide definition of what scripture is.
那么呢，他在这里呢给出了非常广博的含义，这些经典是意味着什么？
No scriptures of the world shall be decried.
哦，这个在经典，世界上的经典永远不应该被被指责或嘲笑。
I'll just summarize what he's saying here.
我现在来概述一下释迦帕帕德的这段话。
The explanation of God or Krishna may be less, may be more.
那么对于神，对于 Krishna 的概念，也许会解释的详细一些，也许会解释的简短一些。
But he gives a very liberal definition of scripture.
但是呢，他在这，但是呢，他对这个经典进行了这种概述。非常简要的一个概述。
Where God is the target, that's scripture. Where God is the target.
Target 啊，那么呢，经典的目标就锁定在神，目标是神，了解神。
And one should not go outside of such literature and imagine something.
那么呢，一个人不应该依靠这个经典以外的东西去想象对神的概念。
Statements of scripture should not be misinterpreted.
那么呢，在经典的这些解释不应该加以曲解，或者说是给出世俗的解释。
So these are some general ideas about the topic.
所以呢，这就是对这个主题的一个简要的概述。
the chapter begins with Hari Das giving his standard Panchatattva glorification.
这一章的开始 ，Hari Das 就供奉上了他通常供奉给 Panchatattva 的一个标准的祷文。
And then he speaks. This is, you see, it's the second verse of the chapter.
这是这一章的第二个诗节。
And here outlined is Shruti Shastra Vinidhana.
这里面说 Shruti Shastra Vinidhana.
What that means is translated here.
这一段话是什么意思呢
？Hari
Das 说道：“主啊，我现在讲述第四项冒犯。”即亵渎伟达文献或基于伟达训语而写成了文献这项冒犯停止奉献服务的甘露
So here's the topics that are covered in the seventh chapter and we're not going to finish
那么呢我们可能现在还讲不完第七章所涵盖的所有的内容
What is the functionThat's served by scripture.
第七章讲述的内容是经典的功能是什么作用
What is the necessity of scripture?
那么呢经典的必要性是什么
What is the subject matter that's discussed in scripture?
经典里所讨论的主题是什么
And very briefly, he discusses Dasa Mula Tattva.
而且经典这里很详细的概述了 Dasa Mula Tattva.
Anyone...present that didn't hear our previous discussion about what Dasa Mula Tattva is.
在座的有没有参加前几节课因为在前几节课当中有一节课提到了 Dasa Mula Tattva 这个话题有没有没有参加没有听的举手
Okay, I'll review quickly.
我现在来复述一下复习一下。
Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote more than 100 books
Bhaktivinoda Thakur 撰著了100多本书籍。
He was a very prolific writer.
他是一个多产的作家。
And in perhaps a third of those books,
那在这本书当中的这些书籍当中 ,third, 第三本书当中他写的。
Bhaktivinoda Thakur categorized the teachings of Lord Chaitanya into 10 items.
那么呢 ,Bhaktivinoda Thakur 呢把主席他的 Mahaprabhu 的教导总结为十项。
In Sanskrit, the word mula means root.
那么呢在梵文词当中 ,mula 的意思是根本根。
There's a vegetable that you can buy in shops in India.
那么呢在印度的市场里商店里你买这些蔬菜。
They look like,carrots in shape, but they're white in color. The shape is like a carrot.
然后它这个蔬菜的样子呢，看上去像胡萝卜，但是它是白色。
But the color is white.
但是它的颜色是白色。
And it's called a muli.
这种蔬菜叫 muli.
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 Muli. It's a root.
它是一种根茎物
Just like carrots are roots.
就像是这个胡萝卜有根一样
There's this green thing that grows above the surface and then there's this orange thing underneath the surface
那么呢那个就像是胡萝卜在地面上有它的根然后在这个地底下长的是这个胡萝卜的这个内部
So when I first heard this
我弄反就是那个地底下是根部然后那个胡萝卜在上面在地面上胡萝卜叶子在上面
When I first heard the term Dasa Mula, I thought it was some kind of a sati.
当我一听到我一看到 Dasa Mula 这个名词的时候，我把它想成了一道菜。
Take some 10 different kinds of roots and mix them together and make a sati.
我就想到这道菜可能是这道 sati 这道菜呢是用十种根茎物蔬菜做成的一道菜。
But that's not what the meaning of Dasa Mula Tattva. It's Bhaktivinoda Thakur's way of describing the 10 items that make the teachings of Lord Chaitanya.
那么呢，实际上这并不是 Dasa Mula Tattva 的真正的含义。Bhaktivinoda Thakur 他在这里总结了 Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 所讨论的十个体旨。
I shared with you that I taught this for 1 month in Vrindavan, and later on, some 20 years later, or more, Sankirtan Prabhu also taught the same course in Vrindavan.
那我在就是曾经我在 Vrindavan 关于 Dasamunatattva 这个主题进行了一个月的讲课，在20年之后 ，Sankirtan Prabhu 也在 Vrindavan 讲述了同一个主题。
And he was really excited to teach this in China because.
那么呢，他呢也非常的热情兴奋的把这个主题也跟中国来到中国跟其他人分享。
He understood that our whole philosophy can be explained by understanding these 10 things.
因为他想，他希望通过这十个主题的这种学习，通过 Dasamunatattva 这十个主题的学习，能够了解所有的这些哲学的内容。
When I taught this course in Vrindavan,
当我在 Vrindavan 教授这个课程的时候
，We had about 4 or 5 days extra after I finished teaching everything.
那么呢，我们可能还有加上再多上4-5天的时间来对这个主题进行更多的学习。
So we did this little exercise.
所以呢，我们就做了一些练习。
We went to Canto 10, Chapter 2, Srimad Bhagavatam.
那么呢，我们学习了《博迦瓦坛》10篇第二章。
It's the prayers of the demigods to Krishna while Krishna was still within the womb of Devaki.
那么这第二章的内容是讲的当 Krishna 还在 Devaki 母亲的腹中的时候半神人们向 Devaki 母亲腹中的 Krishna 进献祷文
So we took verse at a time
所以呢我们花了几个我们
Every
我们学了一个时节
That whole chapter Canto 10 Chapter 2 Verse by verse
我们就一个师节一个师节的把第十章第二第十篇第二章一个师节一个师节的这样学习下来
And we went around the room
后来然后呢我们就是在屋子里这样轮流
And then different students took the entire verse and said This part is Dasamula number 1 This part is Dasamula number 3 This part is Dasamula number 7
然后呢就是屋子里的学生呢一个一个的就摘出其中的师节说这个师节讲的是 Dasamunatattva 1这个师节讲的是 Dasamunatattva 2等等这样依次说下来
So if you can understand these 10 essential teachings you can understand everything
所以呢如果大家了解了这十个主题 Dasamunatattva 的十个主题的话那就意味着能够明白整部圣典博迦瓦坛
It's fascinating.
这是非常奇妙的。
So, in this Harinam Chaitanya Bhaktivinoda Thakur is presenting summary.
那么在 Chaitanya在 Bhaktivinoda Thakur 在圣明点睛时里面也进行了这样的概述对这一主题。
Dasamunatattva. And then he has a section where there he...Haridas describes philosophies that oppose the Vedic conclusion.
那么呢，后来呢，他也罗列了，他也讲到了 Haridas Thakur 讲到了经典里面所反对的一些哲学观念。
Then he ends by describing what the ninda or the blasphemy of those scriptures are, and what's remedy.
然后他也讲到了对经典的这种冒犯的补，就是。补救弥补这一冒犯的措施。
The Vedic literature has 2 primary divisions.
韦达文献分成两个主要的部分。
There's the 4 Vedas called the Shrutis.
那么呢，有韦达经里面有的称为 Shruti 神训经。
And their philosophical portion, the Upanishads.
Upanishad 就是至尊奥义书讲的是关于韦达经的哲学部分
And then there's the Smritis
还有 Smriti
And that's the historical portions
那么这个是关于韦达经的一些历史的纪要一些历史的部分的概述
We are primarily interested in these over here
那么呢我们通常情况下学习的是 Smriti
Actually, Bhagavad Gita falls in this category.
那么《博家梵歌》是属于历史概述这一部分。
Bhagavad Gita is part of Mahabharata, which is in this category of Itihasa.
那么《博家梵歌》呢是 Mahabharata 里面的一部分，而 Mahabharata 是属于 Itihasa 这个部分。Itihasa 是这个关于历史的概述。
And Srimad Bhagavatam is over here in this section.
圣典《博家梵谈》属于 Purana 往事书这一部分。
So Vedic literature consists of both.
所以呢，伟达经可以是属于这两类。
And Haridas is saying, don't blaspheme either one.
所以 Haridas 他故在这里说到，不要去亵渎这两个 Shruti 或 Smriti.
So then there's this first section about the function of scripture.
那么第四部分讲的是经典的作用或功能。
Haridas Thakur says, all of them are manifested from Krishna's breathing.
这里面 Haridas Thakur 在这里说到了，无论是 Shruti 还是 Smriti， 它们都是源自 Krishna 的呼吸。
Sometimes the scriptures speak that they're from Narayana's breathing。
有的时候说到了文献，这些伟大文献是源自 Narayana 的呼吸。
And then there's this word that Bhaktivinoda Thakur likes a lot. It's shown up here. You see this word.Amnaya.
大家看到了 Amnaya 这个词了吧？
So, then he wrote one of his 100 books is Amnaya Sutra. That's the title of the book.
是Bhaktivinoda Thakur 写了一本书叫 Amnaya Sutra， 这是这本书的标题。
And here's his definition of what Amnaya is.
下面呢这一段话是关于 Amnaya 的含义。Amnaya 的意思是伟达之，是。通过使徒传系自上而下传递的伟达知识。
So that can include, like the writings of Rupa Goswami, that's describing nectar devotion.
那么呢，就像是 Rupa Goswami 在《奉爱的甘露》里面所写到的，所总结到的。
Just like the Srinivas is teaching nectar devotion.
就像呢，新华斯瓦米现在教授的就是《奉爱的甘露》。
It's not part of the four Vedas.
它不是四伟达经当中的一部分。
But it's part of the literature of our disciplic succession.
但是呢，是属于使徒传系当中的伟达文献的一部分，伟达知识的一部分。
And he says, how do you like that illustration on the top? He says, in every situation, Haridas says they are the best evidence.
那么 Haridas.
The Vedas.
Haridas 说到了伟达经在任何在每一种情况下。他们都是最好的见证。
Especially for the subject matter that lies beyond this material world.
尤其是说到。
It's especially important. The Vedas are especially important for knowing what's beyond the material world.
那么呢，伟达经对于一个人了解超越于这个物质世界之上的这种。对象是非常重要的。
Transcendental knowledge.
那就是通过伟达的知，通过超然的知识。
Knowledge of the soul.
那就是关于灵魂的知识。
Knowledge of the supreme person.
关于至尊者的知识。
It's essential.
所以要这是非常重要的，这样的经典是非常重要的。
So now he touches on this topic. What's the necessity of scripture?
接下来 Haridas Thakur 就讲到了经典的必要性。
Since our material senses cannot perceive what's beyond this world,
因为物质的感官不能感知到物质世界以外的一切。
We require Krishna, who's beyond the material world, to disclose what's beyond this material world.
所以呢，因为 Krishna 他超然于这个物质世界以外，所以呢，我们就需要 Krishna 降临于世，向我们揭示这一切。
It's very logical.
这是很符合逻辑的。
And the source is perfect also.
那么呢，这个根源也是完美的。
Human knowledge is not perfect.
那么人类的这种知识是不完美。
Those of you that have read Prabhupada's books, you know that conditioned souls have four defects.
那么大家都知道，释迦牟尼佛在经典里面说到了，人类有四个缺陷。
these four categories and then lots of the subcategories of those.
那么呢，这是四类四大缺点。那么在这四类每一项当中还有一些细节。
So we make mistakes.
所以呢，我们容易犯错。
And that's one of the here's the four of them.
那么呢，这是这四项缺陷是这样说的。
Senses are imperfect.
我们的感官是不完美的。
Is that agreed?
大家同意吗？
同意。
Yes.
Definitely.
毫无疑问。
And then we make mistakes.
而且我们容易犯错。
And we have a tendency to cheat.
而且我们有骗人的倾向。
And he explains sometimes, whoops, sometimes we report other than what we see.
那么呢，有的时候我们
we report.Something other than what we see.
那么有的时候呢，我们去说一些我们感知以外的，我们感知不到的一些事儿。
Somebody says, "Did you see my wallet?" No, I didn't see your wallet. Didn't take his wallet.
钱包。
钱包啊。那么有的人说，你看见我的钱包了没有？说没人看到你的钱包，但
是。So, tendency to cheat.
所以呢，我们有这种骗人的倾向。
Here's something I'll share with you from my college days.
啊，我跟大家分享一下我还在读大学的时候的一段经历。
When I was in college, I was preparing to become a medical doctor.
那么呢，我在大学的时候，我本来想，我想就是为这个医学院的，就是医学院进行。
So I started associating with other graduate students, even when I was still undergraduate, to get a sense of.What it's like when you become a graduate student.
那么那个时候我虽然还没有毕业，但是我后来我就跟那些毕业了的一些学生呢，向他们取经，了解到我毕业未毕业应该做一些什么样的准备。
And what I found out was very disturbing.
啊，但是后来我发现呢，发现的结果了，这个结果挺打扰我的。
Many of the students that were graduate students. Many.Graduate students.
有很多这些毕业的学生
had received some grant, some money to do some research.
他们要用一些钱去做一些调查。
They had a whole year to complete their research work.
那么他得花一整整一年的时间做这样做他们的需要进行的调查。
I found that it was very common. They never did their research work at all.
那么呢，我发现有一件非常常见的事情就是他们无法没有用钱去做这个调查。
They just made up numbers as if they had done research.
他们只是在用一串编啊。
They submitted a report. It was just made up numbers.
啊，那么他们只是编出一系列的数字来，就是假装他们做出了这样的调查。
Designed specifically.So they could get an extension for their grant and do more research.
Designed.
That the whole report was made up in such a way they could get more money to do more research.
然后他们就是把他们的这个答卷设计成这个样子，他们能够获得更多的钱，做更多的调查。
It was really disgusting cheating.
他们真的是在骗人，做一种骗术。
This goes on in the material world.
在物质世界里，这样的事情司空见惯。
One of the four defects of conditioned souls.
那更何况受条件限制的灵魂的这四项缺陷。
And then another is pramada or illusion.
还有 pramada 就是很容易迷惑，很容。受迷惑。
So, that means we're subject to illusion.
那也就是说，我们很容易受迷惑。
So these are four defects.
这是这四个缺陷。
And any knowledge that comes from a person that has these four defects is going to be defective knowledge.
那么呢，任何由这就是有这四项缺陷的人所创造出来的知识，也是有这四项缺陷的。
Now what's the purpose of understanding this?
那么我们了解这一点的目的是什么呢？
We need to get knowledge from someone that's not imperfect, is not perfect, not a cheater, it doesn't have these defects, a perfect person.
那么呢，我们要应该从那些没有这思想缺陷的，也就是说是一个完美的人那里获得知识。
The Vedas are such a source.
伟达经就是这样的源头。
Because the source of the Vedas is transcendental.
因为伟达经的源头是超然的。
And therefore the Vedas are without those defects.
这样呢，伟达经是没不具有这思想缺陷的。
And similarly, because our senses cannot reach beyond the purview of unconscious matter.
因为我们的感知是无法感知到那些没有知觉的那些物质。
We require the Vedas in order to understand that which lies beyond.
所以呢，那么我们需要伟达经去了解我们超乎我们感官以外的事物。
So fortunately, Krishna is very kind.
非常幸运的是 ，Krishna 是很仁慈。
And he supplies that knowledge about the transcendental wisdom.
他提供了关于超然智慧的知识。
He imparted that knowledge unto rishis or the great wise men.
他把这样的超然的智慧传递给了教授给了那些圣人或者是智者。
They in turn by sound vibration imparted it to others.
然后呢他们这样呢他们把这个超然的音阵又传递给了其他人。
Very kindly Vyasadeva wrote it all down.
然后非常仁慈的是 Vyasadeva 很仁慈的把这些超然的音阵撰写成书册。
So we can have knowledge that's without defect.
所以呢我们现在就能够阅读到毫无瑕疵的知识。
So this shows the ascending process that is fallible.
那么这里面说到了这种自上而下传递的知识是存在的。
And here's the descending process of knowledge.
这里面左边的这个图呢是这个自下而下的这种推拉的知识。那么右边的这个图呢是自上而下传递的知识。
Krishna gives us knowledge how to reach him.
所以呢 ,Krishna 给予我们知识这种超然的知识能够让我们去接近他。
And he also gives the mood of devotion that is necessary for entering the spiritual world.
所以呢要想进入到灵性世界这种分爱的情感是需要的。
I'm going to go for another 4 minutes and we'll just start along this path of decimal type. I think we'll resume with this one whenever we resume again, this evening.
那么呢我们可能讲到这一部分的时候就今天早上这一个讲课的部分就结束到这里。Dasamula Tattva.
As you see, this is Dasamula Shiksha Prameya Nayata. This is Haridas saying, I, Haridas, am now going to explain the essential teachings, the Mula, the roots of Lord Chaitanya's teaching.
那么呢这句话 Dasamula Shiksha Prameya Nayata 的意思是 Haridas现在开始讲述主切坦尼亚马哈帕布所教导的关于十个根本真理的教义。
In fact, I think I'll just say a few things and we'll end with this slide.
那么呢给大家说几点然后我们就今天就这堂课就结束在这个地方。
There's 10 essential truths. The first one is the basis and support of the other 9.
那么呢有十个根本真理第一项就是一切的基础或支撑。
And the first one, so those of you that are like to take notes, you can take notes.
那么喜欢记笔记的人应该记下来。
The first one is that the Vedas is the source of all knowledge.
第一条就是伟达知识是知识的源头。伟达经是知识的源头。
That's the item of evidence. How do we know anything? We know from the perfect source, the Vedas.
那么呢，这是这个不证自明，这是最具最有说服力的证据。我们所了解的一切知识都是来自于伟达经。伟达经是知识的源头。
And the other 9 are what is known from that source.
那么呢，其他的一些事物都是取自这些这个知识的源头的。
The first seven have to do with sambandha, again, knowledge of the relationship of all things with their source.
那么呢，头七个真理实际上讲跟这个 sambandha gyan, 也就是生物体跟这个的关系有关的知识。
And the number eight has to do with Abhideya, the process of devotional service.
那么第八个真理呢，跟 Abhideya, 也就是服务的程序，就是关于这种关系的程序相关的知识。
And number nine is what is the end result of the process of devotional service, or the goal of devotional service.
那么呢，第九个呢，就是跟这个讲到的主题跟奉献服务的目标相关。
And that's the tenth.
第十个是。
So those first seven, they have there's something about Krishna, something about the living entity, something about material nature.
那么头七个真理呢，就是讲的关于神的知识、至尊主的知识、关于生物体的知识、关于这个物质在物质能量的知识。
And within those seven is this achintya beta beta tatra. You've heard that term before.
那么呢，在这七个真理当中呢，也讲到了 achintya beta beta tatra。记忆记忆，不可思议的记忆记忆理论。
That is, there is a relationship between both material nature and the living entities with the source.
那么呢，也谈到了物质世界、物质能量、生物体与这二者的源头之间的关系。
And there's an aspect of oneness, and there's an aspect of difference at the same time. That's one of the teachings.
那也就是还有就是一方面就是生物体和这是它生物体的源头之间的相同之处，还有它们之间的不同之处的知识。
For those of you not familiar, we'll be discussing it, or Haridas will be discussing it, and we'll explain it.
那么呢，如果大家对此不是很熟知的话，在此 Haridas Thakur 就这一主题进行了讨论。
So, scripture, the Vedas is the means of knowing things.
那么呢，伟达经。或者是伟达文献是我们了解知识的手段途径。
He then presents what is to be known from those scriptures.
然后他也跟我们说到了，我们通过这样的伟达经，我们要了解的目的，我们要了解的对象是什么。
And to chant the holy name properly.
为了正确的唱诵圣名。
This knowledge is essential.
这样的知识是非常重要的。
Devotees need to study the scripture.
奉献者必须要研习经典。
We need to chant.
我们需要唱念诵。
We need to do some service.
我们需要做服务。
And we need to study the scripture.
我们也需要研习经典。
My observation about the devotees in China in general is there isn't sufficient effort and time spent studying the scripture.
那么呢，我对中国奉献者，我观察到中国奉献者，我就想到他们真的是拿出足够的时间来学习经典吗？
不乐意学经典，我们不乐意学经典。
是 sufficient time。
我们不想学经典。
从妈妈这个观察来看，中国的奉献者没有足够的时间来学习经典。
Maharaj 他就是观察到中国的奉献者并没有拿出足够的时间来学习经典。
You come to my classes, it makes up for it. Those of you that come to hear my classes, I make up for it. I speak a lot about the teachings.
那么呢，大家来参加这个课程呢，我在这里讲到了很多。
Maybe some of you would put you to sleep.
大家就是参加来听课的人挺多，可能但是在座的有的人可能听着听着就睡着了。
It's not like taking prashada.
这个不像是你们这个学习听课的这个精神，不像是荣耀普萨当的时候的那种镜头。
You don't fall asleep when you take prashada.
当你荣耀普萨当的时候，你才不会睡着呢。
But this the teachings, the essential teachings, is necessary to go further with your chanting of the holy name.
因为这个学习的必要是对非常的重要的，我们研习经典非常的重要，能够帮助我们深入的去念诵圣名。
So for those who have been practicing Krishna consciousness, for one who has been practicing Krishna consciousness now for 46 years, I want to share with you the importance of these teachings because it will help you advance in Krishna consciousness.
那么呢，对于一个修习 Krishna 之缘40多年的人来说，我现在非常的愿意跟大家来分享一下学习经典是多么的重要。是对我们在 Krishna 知觉当中取得进步是非常有帮助的。
And I'll end just by saying something that I said the very first day, very first part of the first day.
那么呢，我现在在结束这堂课程的时候呢，我想来重复一下在这个课程的第一天所提到的。
The purpose of sharing all this information from Harinam Chintamani.
我跟大家来分享 Harinam Chintamani 的目的是这样子的。
It's not just so that you have more information.
而不是说只是给大家的提供不断的提供一些信息。
Or you know some more Sanskrit words.
或者是让大家多知道一些梵文诗节或者梵文词。
Or you can have more lists of things to memorize.
或者是呢让大家就是罗列一大堆东西让大家去记忆。
That's boring. That's not the purpose.
那么实际上这并不是学习这个课程的主要的目的。要是如果是这样的话，那是比较枯燥乏味的。
Rather, the purpose is to nourish the creeper of bhakti.
那么学习这个Harinam Chintamani圣名典籍史的目的，就是为了滋养我们的 bhakti 的蔓藤。
In ways that we've been speaking about again and again.
那么呢，我们是以什么样的方式来滋养呢？就是不断的重复这些教导。
Like that one painting, remember that Krishna's over here and the girl's over there, and she's hearing the message of Srimad Bhagavatam in her ear.
那么大家还记得这样的一个图片吗？在上前几章节的时候有这样的一个图片，这里是 Krishna， 然后一个小女孩在这儿。他在聆听圣典不加瓦坛这样的超然的文献音证。
And below her, there's this lotus.
然后就在这个小女孩下面有一朵莲花，画着一朵莲花。
And the water from which the lotus is growing.
然后呢，这个莲花呢是从水中生长出来。
That's the purpose of all of this.
那么呢，这就是我们上这个圣名点经时学习圣名点经时这个课程的目的。
In the language of Srimad Bhagavatam,
圣典波加瓦坛里面的语言
the purpose of hearing this message,
圣典波加瓦坛里面说到我们去聆听这样的讯息的目的是
the purpose of wishing to come all the way to Beijing to spend hours and hours with you all.
那么呢我大家远道而来我远道而来聚集在北京这样一个小时接一个小时的去聆听的目的是
is to nourish that svanam bhava saroham, the lotus of your bhava, your natural affection for Krishna through that sound vibration.
那就是通过这样的音振去滋养我们原本对 Krishna 所具有的 bhava, 奉爱之情。
When this sound vibration is received in that way,
当这个音振以这种方式接受到的时候,
at least then the possibility is to unfold our relationship with Krishna more and more.
那么呢，我们和 Krishna 之间的这种关系就会越来越绽开，绽放开来，就会越来越结实，越来越多的结实出来。
So that when we're chanting,
所以当我们念诵的时候
or when we're reading,
或者当我们去阅读经典的时候
or when we're cooking in the kitchen or doing any other service at all,
或者我们在厨房里做饭或者在做任何其他的奉爱服务的时候
inside our relationship with Krishna is awakened and enlivened and vibrant.
那么我们内心当中自我跟我们各自跟 Krishna 的这种关系呢就会不断不断的得以滋养不断的不断的被逐渐的恢复被唤醒。
That's the purpose.
这就是上这个课程的目的所在。
At least from my side, that's my intention.
那么至少从我个人来说，这是我的这个意向，这是。
The guidance of Haridas Thakur and the guidance of Srimad Bhagavatam are indicating to me, keep going.
那么呢，这个像圣典博迦瓦坛 Haridas Thakur 的这些教导，能够使我不断的这样努力进行下去。
So we'll continue this evening.
所以呢，我们今天晚上还会就这个话题继续。
Sandini's got some announcements.
现在。